How do we celebrate it? By remembering our fallen military men and women. My father's headstone reads Veteran, World War II. Because the cemetery is far away, it had been several years since I visited. It is a peaceful place with a lot of trees. Suddenly, I was interrupted by laughter. I turned around to see a young woman laying out a blanket and putting out a picnic lunch. Her two little girls were chasing each other and giggling loudly. I immediately felt anger. This was not a place for play. Then the young woman sat on the blanket in front of the grave, and I heard her say, "Hello, honey. We thought we would spend the day with you. I just wanted you to know the girls and I are doing fine, and we miss you very much." My heart immediately broke. I turned around to give them their moment of privacy while fighting back tears. We must remember our veterans, and their families too. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. It is Sunday once again. Today is May 29th, 2016. I believe Memorial Day is tomorrow.
It is.
Wow. We have a jam-packed show today, so we got a lot of stuff to cover. I'm here in the studio with my sister Linda, who does
good
all of the heavy lifting.
Good morning.
Very good. And Bob Martin, our trusted producer, soundboard operator, and all-around great guy.
Good morning, Mark, Linda, and Red.
And Red Smith, who's been on the blended glide path with an inappropriate assumption of solvency for quite some time with a soft guarantee of improbable financial stability post-employment, becoming a rapid descent into the unfended pit of hell.
That's it.
I think I got that out. I might have stumbled a little bit on the last part. Anyway, so we're streaming worldwide. You can go to the chat room at KCNR1460.com or call in at 530-605-4567. Reading Patriots meets every Monday night at 6 p.m. at 3276 Pacelli Lane.
But not this Monday.
But not this Monday.
I knew someone was going to correct me. But not this Monday.
All together now.
any little thing. It's like they go for the hamstring, you know. If I say anything wrong, they're on me.
Oh, and you wouldn't do that to nobody else, would you?
Of course not.
Yeah, okay.
Of course not. You've been listening to Jefferson State of Mind. You can go to SOJ51.net and become a 51ster. And all the things that, you know, that entails, you can start making phone calls to your legislature, get involved in the process. We will be in a 51st state, and we are on track to do so. Go to the Shasta Lantern at theshastalantern.net and pick up the latest stories on the news that nobody else will print or tell you about.
And we have some very good stuff coming in the Lantern here very soon about some of the new things that are going on in Oregon surrounding the Malheur occupation and some of the things that have been discovered and who's involved. And apparently the state of Oregon violated several laws in what it did.
No, I wouldn't believe that. I just don't know.
No, that wouldn't happen anywhere.
The government break the law?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That's their ongoing claim.
I'm just as flabbergasted as you are.
Yeah, flabbergasted is a good word. I want to make sure that we bring attention to supporting us here at the KCNR, Sovereign Mind Radio, and I wanted to bring up the announcement about the tickets and the gun raffle that's going on. We need to make sure we have enough funds to support us because we are public broadcasting as opposed to the other public lie
yes.
that you know says they're supported by the public, but really is supported by the government.
Yeah, And we have those tickets on sale, and it's a good thing because, you know, people are saying, well, you guys need to do more airtime. You need to do more airtime. We got to pay for the airtime that
we get.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we got to cover what we got right now, folks, so anything will help.
I'd actually like to have a life, too.
Yeah, well, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I know.
I know. Sundays would be nice to sleep in.
Yeah, I wouldn't even mind going to church once in a while, you know? I mean, and.
Quiet and back to your hole.
Shut up. Shut your yap and get back to work.
But the gun raffle is a wonderful thing. I mean, it's $20 a ticket. You have it sitting in front of you. And then for $200, you get 11. Is that right?
11. No, it's $5 for 60, 7 for 80.
No, 5 tickets.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is really small print here. Let me look at this. I can't get it to go bigger here.
200, you get 30.
Okay, $20 for 3, 40 for 5, 60 for 7, 80 for 11, 100 for 30, and 200. I guess it's got it backwards. 1 for 20, 3 for 40, 5 for 60, 7 for 80, 11 for 100, and 30 for 200.
And the crowd goes, yay!
Yay! You got it right.
Yeah. And there's 3 guns you could win. So. Yeah.
Or all 3
guns. Or all 3. That's it.
A Smith & Wesson M&P Sport AR-15 5.56. A Benelli shotgun 12-gauge, and a Ruger American 270 Winchester rifle.
Mm-hmm. You know, and we're dealing with Jones Fort, and if one of those rifles, you know, you really don't want, you can always trade it in, too.
Yeah.
And swap out for something else. I'm just throwing that out there, folks. So, you know,
Patrick,
if you want...
Patrick will take care of you.
Yeah, Patrick's good down there, so...
Well, I have some really good stories today, and we got a really a huge lineup going on today. We have a veteran coming on in a few minutes, and then we have Greg Cheadle. Manure.
And Steve Baird coming on.
Steve Baird coming on. But I have some stories that just struck me today that we got to get out here real quick, okay? And it's just, you know, some of this stuff, you just cannot believe, you know, when you read it. But this one is from, let me see if I can get my internet to work here. All of a sudden it, come on.
You mean not all is right with the world?
Not all is right with the world.
That's not what the mainstream media says.
Yeah. It's okay. You know, the wife and I are headed to Venezuela here in a little bit for vacation.
Oh, are you?
Good
luck with that. Yeah, let us know how that works.
Make sure you bring lots of toilet paper and food.
I understand it's hopping down there right now. People out in the streets, you know, good times.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Mardi Gras?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I understand there's a premium on pigeon meat.
Squab, I think it's referred to.
Squab and roof rabbit in a heavy cream sauce.
Boy, not really super funny when you think about it, because that is having, we're having a problem here. Okay, so I got the story up. This is in response to the Senate vote that allows families of 9/11 victims to sue Saudi Arabia. A Saudi legal expert claims that the U.S. government masterminded the 9/11 attacks to create a nebulous enemy in order to create a public support for a global war on terror. No. I mean, think about this. Now, at this point, would your government do that at this point? Does anybody believe that the government would never do anything like that? Now, I don't know. I'm not saying this is true, and this is coming from Saudi Arabia, who is stellar in the truth. But if you can't put those two together, then, and you look at all the other stories that's going on. I mean, feds have found unbelievable amounts of child porn on national security computers, you know, and they're they're worried about getting caught, not firing the people. It just goes on and on and on and on. President Obama added 20,642 new regulations during his presidency already. 20,000 new regulations. Yeah, they would never do anything.
No.
That was, you know.
Never.
So I just want people to think about that. You know, in the meantime, we've got a gun apocalypse of 11 fast-tracked anti-gun bills sweeping the state of California, totally non-related. And we have six giant corporations controlling the media as Americans consume 10 hours of programming a day. Of course, that would not be trying to shift public perception with propaganda, would it?
Then we have one of the major mergers of all time, as Monsanto will no longer be Monsanto. They're being bought out by Bayer.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which I believe means that Bayer now owns every herbicide, pesticide, chemicalcide, and pharmaceutical company on the face of the planet.
So what I'm saying is we need to analyze this stuff with a non-emotional, clear-thinking mind as to whether there's truth here or not. And I'll tell you what, you can't look at this and go, hey, there's not something wrong here, okay? Because, you know, all the wise people in the world who are experts on American policy and who analyze the images and the videos of 9/11 agree unanimously that what happened in the Twin Towers was a purely American action planned and carried out within the United States. Proof of this is the sequence of continuous explosions and blah, 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 blah. Okay, so there is a lot of people saying that there's a problem. Nobody's explained Building 7. And all I'm saying is that the Saudis are threatening to expose documents that would, if this vote that went through to release the 28 pages, that's already gone through. They're saying they're going to expose documents showing that the American government was involved in the planning of it.
Well, my question is if they have documents proving that the American government was involved in 9/11, why do they wait until they're getting sued to expose them?
Good question. I don't know. All I'm saying is that there's something going on here because nobody wants these pages released. The Republicans or Democrats up in the upper levels.
Yeah.
You know, and then the Saudi Arabia is saying that it was just a continuation of American policy that this went through. Our Fourth Amendment rights were gutted. We got the Patriot Act. We've had nothing but problems ever since.
Yeah, it's been the Twilight Zone.
Nobody's explained Building 7. And you've got a government.
I heard a good one for Building 7.
Oh, yeah. What was that?
Okay. When the towers came down, it caused a seismic event that destabilized Building 7 and caused its collapse.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's the story that came
out
at all.
You know, when you look at the big picture, if it doesn't make the hair on the back of your neck stand up a little bit, and the media being complicit with covering up everything, I mean, look what they don't report. I mean,
they're not media. They're entertainment news.
Yeah,
it's like you said, they're owned by six corporations that decide what you hear and know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, so it's, I mean.
That's why you're stuck with us, telling you the truth.
That's why you're stuck with us. It's true, though. I mean, I'm looking at this stuff and you're going, if you can't put two and two together and equal four, then you're just not very bright, in my opinion, because remember, you know, when people would say, oh, Bush, Laura Bush, they couldn't be involved in all of this stuff. Well, I don't know. Maybe they weren't. But maybe the industrial complex was. Industrial complex.
It's not a well-hidden secret about the connectivity between the Saudi royal family and the Bushes going back generations. Look at Zapata Offshore. Look at Schlumberger Oil. Look at who these people are and who they have been. You know, the great-great-granddaddy Bush, who got his start with Rockefeller and Standard Oil.
With that,
we are going to go to a break. But before we do, we had somebody call in and wanted to know where they could get the raffle tickets. They can get them at Jones Fort Classic Cafe, the Patriot Reading Patriot Meetings. Mm-hmm. They can give us a call at 221-0101, and we can get tickets that way. And then we'll go to a break. And when we come back, we have our guest on the line. And this is KCNR 1460 Community
Perfect.
Radio for the North State.
I grew up dreaming of being a cowboy and loving a cowboy ways, pursuing the life of my high-riding egos. I burned up my childhood days. I learned all the rules of a modern-day drifter. Don't you hold on to nothing too long. take what you need from the latest release with the words of a sad country song. My heroes have always been cowboys, and they still are, it seems, sadly in search of one step in back of themselves and their slow moving dreams.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows for the Northern California Veterans Museum, reminding you this Memorial Day weekend there are three ceremonies on Monday we would like to invite you to honor our fallen veterans. The first service on Monday is at 10 a.m. at Reading Memorial Park on Continental Street. The second starts at 11 a.m. at the Veterans Grove at the Reading Civic Auditorium, and then at Igo Veterans Cemetery at 5:55 in the evening. Please take every opportunity to honor our veterans at one of these ceremonies on Monday. And remember, freedom isn't free. Thank you.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Like many working women, I have a hectic schedule. My daily radio show, stage performances, and time with Carl leave almost no time to focus on myself. And I know a lot of us are in that same situation. We need me time to maintain mind, body, and spirit. And that's where Wellgate Sports Club really shines. I love the aquatic training program at Wellgate Sports Club. Kathleen Cowling's Aqua Aerobics focuses on cardiac training through water resistance and buoyancy that features safe, low-impact movements. Wellgate Sports Club's saltwater pool is a unique way to get back to my body, feeling muscle groups grow stronger. Kathleen at Wellgate Sports Club helped me to find my new limits, and they can help you too. Call Wellgate Sports Club today at 768-1205, or you can check out schedule information online at wellgatesportsclub.com. At Wellgate, self-care is the best form of health care. Wellgate Sports Club, Eureka Way at Court in Reading.
There are few things you can count on. In the North State, it's gonna get hot. Well, count on this. Solar shades from Budget Blinds. Solar shades keep sunlight out. The use of solar shades help in reducing indoor temperature during our hot summer days by minimizing the amount of heat allowed indoors during the day, reducing the need for air conditioning. At Budget Blinds, creating your perfect atmosphere at home or at the office is our goal. Budget Blinds comes to you with the latest trends in textures, patterns, colors, and now solar shades. What else? Now listen to this. Ready? What about the exterior? Budget Blinds will help you beat the heat this year with exterior solar screens. That's not all. Install exterior solar screens and receive a rebate of up to $500 from Reading Electric Utility. Did you hear that? Count on being cooler this summer with exterior solar screens and solar shades and a rebate up to $500 to boot. Wow.
Give Budget Blinds a call today, 226-9027, or visit us on the web at www.budgetblinds.com.
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore with Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista. This Memorial Day weekend, we'd like to invite all veterans and active duty military personnel and their spouses to enjoy 10% off everything in the store. That's right, 10% off everything but gas and propane for all active duty veterans and their spouses from Friday to Monday, May 27th through the 30th. It's our way of saying thank you for your service and your sacrifice. That's Mighty Fine Foods at 299 in Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista, your one-stop shop on the way to the lake.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Man,
Sovereign Mind Radio, that's Keith Urban for you. That's a pretty good song. Anyway, we want to, you know, let everybody know that, you know, Memorial Day is this weekend, if they haven't figured that out already. And we need to honor the people that have sacrificed everything in order for us to stay free. And, you know, so that's, you know, something we need to probably be thinking about more of. But
yeah, it's not just about barbecues.
It's not about barbecues. So anyway, I just had to get that out there, and I thought that was an appropriate song and kind of a follow-in to our next guest.
Yeah.
We've got Alan Johnson on the phone.
We do.
Are you there, Mr. Johnson?
Yes. My name is Alan Johnson. I'm 92 years old. I'm out here at the Redding Cal Veterans Home, and I went in the service 2/2/43, discharged in 10/1/45, and at that time I chose the Army Air Corps, which was not the Army Air Force until 1947. My bomber, which I was a pastor of, I was an engineer, was shot down over Berlin, and the story that's kind of behind that is the fact that the Berlin radio announced our names of the whole crew, 10 of us, which 5 never got out and 5 survived. I was the last one out that lived. But my folks are known about what was happened probably 4 or 5 days afterwards, because there was 20 to 30 shortwave radio operators on the East Coast picked up the message and relayed telegrams and phone calls to my folks. So if it had been up to the government, it would have been probably 3 months before they'd been notified of missing in action or lost. So that's part of the story. At any rate, I can go on to tell you things that happened on the ground if you wish of that, or...
Yeah, absolutely. So you were 3 months before you were even reported missing in action, and then...
Well, it would have been 3 months. It would have been reported as missing in action, but they would have not known what happened. As it was, they knew 4 days. And the fact is, I was lived around Marysville, and they sent a major out and presented a Purple Heart to my mother, which was unusual, because I'd only been wounded 3 or 4 days.
How, when you say you were shot down, I mean, what did you guys do, bail out? I mean, how did you survive the crash?
I was the last one. The ones that survived bailed out, 4 and never got out of the airplane, period.
So you guys just put on your parachutes and jumped, huh?
Yeah, well, the pilot, co-pilot, they said in their chutes, we had what they call little chest chutes, and they... you travel down pretty fast with them, but I didn't get out until the last second. In fact, as I another couple of minutes in the airplane, I would never survive.
So you hit the ground. Where were you at? Germany?
I hit in the residential district of Berlin.
Wow.
I just barely missed a garage and lit up against a house in the residential district. And the first man that come along was an old fellow with an axe. He hurried me down the street to where there was some town policemen, and they were old too, because all your younger fellows were on the fronts fighting. And they took a few swings until the flak gunners come along, and then they ran them off and took us to their headquarters.
And you were wounded at that time, correct?
Yes, I had a hole through my right shoulder and lung. so forth, one in the back of the neck, and I think about 13, 14 minor wounds.
What year was that?
That was June 21st, 1944, right after D-Day.
Wow.
We flew on D-Day.
So you guys were on a bombing raid right after D-Day then?
That's right. It was an all-out, a large bombing raid on Berlin.
How many planes do you think were involved in the raid? Was you the only? You know, how many were in your squadron?
Well, the day before we'd put up 31 airplanes for an all-out to Pulitz, not Pulaski, Pulitz, next to Russia. And we were shot up pretty bad there, and then come back from 9 minutes out of Sweden time on three engines and made it back okay. The next day we were only able to put up 11 planes where we'd had 31 the day before. And there's probably at least 1,000 other airplanes. We were one of the first ones over the target.
So how many planes do you think got shot down at this?
On that particular raid?
Yeah.
I don't know, probably neighborhood of 30. I don't really know. Hmm. There were two out of our group.
And then, Al, if you could tell us what happened after you were on the ground and you were wounded, what happened next?
Well, they picked me up and they took us to a co-pilot. Were shot in the neck, too. They took us to Hermann Göring's Luftwaffe Hospital in Berlin, where they operated on me without anesthetic or anesthesia. And the co-pilot had been shot through the neck, so they had snips holding his stuff together. And he, by the way, he died 15 days later because he got gangrene in the wound, and they'd been feeding him through the deal. I myself had to have several blood transfusions and was out for a while. In fact, as I didn't know about the second one.
Wow. So, I mean, that's amazing that you survived that to begin with. And then what happened after that? You started getting well and they shipped you to...
Well, eventually, yeah. I was moved 11 times, which was very odd, which... is something that doesn't happen very often. From Hermann Göring Luke Hospital, they moved me to a hospital in Frankfurt. And that was next to Hallmark, which was your interpretation center. And I went there, and they put me in 5 days solitary. They finally told me more about myself than I knew, because they had records. They'd evidently received a letter from home, which I never did receive when I was there for 11 months.
So it sounds to me like they were keeping you alive to get extract information then.
Well, that's what... it's just like one plane went down a dozen miles probably outside of Berlin, and they executed all 8 of the fellows and saved the pilot and co-pilot for interrogation. But it all depends on where you was at. Some Germans were pretty nice people.
And then some weren't, obviously.
Some weren't.
Yeah. So then, you know, you're going through this, you're healing, and you know, you're getting well, relatively speaking, and they're moving you around to different hospitals. They're getting information out of you, if possible.
Well, it wasn't, I don't think for the information. It was the fact that later I lost the use of my legs and hands. I'd evidently, that's a long story, too. They told me I'd had diphtheria, the wound. That's because they didn't have a bed in the hospital. They put me out in the ward with some diphtheria cases. But the orderlies told me my swabs had come back negative. And I probably had a slight case of beriberi, which wasn't too common in Europe.
Because
when I got home, I had an enlarged heart, liver, and spleen.
And while you were going through all of this, you kept diaries, didn't you, Big Al?
Yes, I did.
And you were able to bring them back with you?
That's right.
That's pretty awesome.
So,
a little different in most cases, that's for sure. The Norwegian Red Cross gave me that diary in Berlin.
And so you got those presently then?
I've got the stories and so forth that were written and kept. I wish I had kept a better record than I did, but I do have the dates and so forth.
I would imagine, though, that if you were reading them, things just flood back into your memory, don't they?
Well, things back in those days that happened, I remember real well. Now, 92, I have a little trouble in memory.
Well,
I'm not that old, and I got a problem with my memory at times, that's for sure, let alone go through everything that you've been through.
But, I mean, it sounds to me like you had to be pretty tough to survive this part of the thing, and, you know, and I guess they
I went through an air raid where I didn't know where I was at for probably a week or so on one of our own airplanes raids, and then the other things happened, too, like I was sentenced to 2 weeks in solitary confinement in a German prison, but the orderlies which had saved my life earlier were English, and they had been captured in Dunkirk. They knew the old gentleman smoked a pipe. Then we received Red Cross parcels while we was in the hospital, and I was able to get a hold of a can of Prince Albert, which gave me an edge. I got to eat with him. In fact, there's a I got a little disappointed in him because he let me out after 8 days, and I wanted to spend the 2 weeks there.
Well,
so you weren't actually in the hospital until the end of the war. You actually ended up in a German prison?
Well, yes. I was in and out of hospitals. I was there. I was in three different stalags, and there was... Well, we were removed above, ahead of the Russians, and they had those about six or eight death marches in Germany, but you didn't hear about those because of the terrible deal that took place in Japan, where the Japanese march was only probably 40 miles. Some of them were 12 and 1,600 miles in, ahead of the Russians.
So you're talking about the Bataan Death March then?
Well, one of their death marches, they figured they lost about 15%. But it was nothing like what took place in Japan.
Wow. So you're now, how long were you in captive? I mean,
I was 11 months.
11 months, and then you got released at the end of the war, or?
Well, I was liberated by the Russians, and I spent 18 days with the Russian military. And that was the story in itself. It was all American equipment, and, well, I can't go into all that. That was something else.
Yeah. So while you're in the camp here, I mean, do you think it's over? I mean, what are you guys thinking about? Are you thinking about getting out? Are you thinking about going home? What are you guys thinking about?
Well, you kind of learn to just ride the waves and not do much thinking. At least that's the way it affected me.
And there was quite a few of you, weren't there, in the camp?
Well, the last camp I was in, there was over 10,000. That was an officer's camp at Barth, Germany, up in the Baltic.
Up in the Baltic, huh? It's kind of cold up there, isn't it?
But actually, I was in Czechoslovakia for a while. I was traveled enough to quite a few places in Germany.
So they were just shipping you around by rail?
Some of it was by rail, yes. In fact, it was 8 days. 8 nights in a boxcar for what they call 48. There were 63 of us in there. You couldn't, not everybody could sit down even, hardly. Might be able to sit down, but you couldn't lay down.
Wow.
And that was, they passed water in. We had a bathroom trip one day during the 8 days. But I lived off of snow because I had cigarettes and we bought them from the German guards. We parked in a railroad station with snow.
Wow.
The only reason it was warm enough was confined so much as plenty of
body heat.
Yeah.
Wow. So, gosh, I mean, this. How did you straighten your life out after this? I mean, this sounds almost like it was too much.
Well, I was a PTSD stress deal, but I was been in the veteran system since 1946. In fact, in those days, they didn't have all these nice places. I was sent to Palau Naval Hospital for a week on nerves. Conditions.
Hmm. So you've been in the veteran system now since World War II?
Yeah.
Wow.
I had a percentage disability on scar tissue is what they gave to me originally.
Wow. So what else can you tell us about this experience that sticks out in your memory? I mean, it's almost too much for some of us to comprehend this level of suffering.
I was even bayoneted once.
Wow. So how do you survive that, though? I mean, just suck it up and go in the corner and stop the bleeding? What?
You kind of learn to ride the waves, I guess.
Wow.
Are you planning on doing anything with your diaries? I mean, if somebody wanted to...
Quite a few years ago, I understand the Academy wanted the diary, but I haven't heard from them in 30, 40 years in regard to it, so I don't know if they still want it now. But I've donated an awful lot of items to a museum that's just outside of Beale. And if people haven't seen that, they should go down and go through it because it has... all your different wars, every medal, every uniform, including POW uniforms, and so forth. It's about 500 yards before you go through the gate of Beale out of Marysville.
But do you have some of the diaries still with you there at the home?
Oh, yes, and I have 45 pictures of historical pictures of... like the sign on the peace treaty in Missouri and sign on the peace treaties in Europe. And I also have pictures of the Hornet with the airplanes taken off to bomb Japan. And I also, in fact, there's one colonel that was on that raid was the one that developed a tin bomb site so they wouldn't have to use a top secret bomb site when they bombed Japan. I've read a lot of different stories that people don't hear as a positive.
So you said after you were liberated by the Russians, it actually took 18 days to be repatriated to American forces. After that, how long were you still in Europe, or were you returned home pretty much immediately? Or
well, that's another story. Actually, on the Russian side, you'd see nothing but dead Germans. Once you cross the line at Brussels, which was in Canadians, they had fences around maybe 1,000 or 2,000 with guards marching around and guiding them. They were still alive. But on the other side, the only ones were dead. Most of our guards, a lot of them committed suicide. Or just melted into the thin air, because they didn't. And if, as we traveled out, if the Germans knew we were Americans, they invited us to come in and stay with them, because if there was an American in the house with them, the Russians would usually leave them alone.
Interesting.
Otherwise, it was something else.
Well, somebody in the chat room, says that. So you've lost the use of your arms and legs. When did that occur?
That occurred after I had been let out of the Over Mansfield Hospital, sent to what they called the Lazarette at Meiningen, and evidently it was from malnutrition because I'd went down to 80 pounds on sulfur pills, if you've ever taken those big sulfur pills, you can't even hold a glass of water down.
Wow.
And it's evidently had a small case of beriberi, which later, at the time, they didn't have any beds, so they said it was diphtheria, but actually I never had diphtheria in my life. My heart and liver and spleen were enlarged when I got home. They're still oversized.
Well, you're 92 years old now, and I'll tell you, that's a testament to how tough you could be.
Well, they told me that I probably wouldn't live for 30 years after I got out of the camp, but that was 70-some years ago, so we fooled them.
And you've received quite a few medals, haven't you, Big Al?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you tell us about some of those medals?
Well, most of them are just regular issues, although I do have one from France, and I have one from England that your regular soldiers probably didn't get in that unless they were in something to do with that particular part of the country. And then naturally they had all the others that like European Theater and Air Medal, with Cluster and Purple Heart and so forth. Only my records aren't complete, so like Purple Hearts, I've only got the one. And that's a story in itself. If you were issued I was issued a Purple Heart at home to my folks and so forth way before the war or anything like that, then they turned around and give another Purple Heart to ex-POW, so they didn't give me one because I already had one. But that's government for you.
For our listeners who don't know what beriberi is, it's a malnutrition type of a disease. It affects your nervous system. You're not getting enough nutrition.
Well, you had a lot of that in the South Pacific. Lots and lots of beriberi. That was from malnutrition, from what diets and so forth.
So how did you come back from all this? I mean, what did you do? Start just eating good when you got finally to a place in America and taking care of yourself, and you just slowly got better?
Well, I went home to my home, and I'd also had a job before I went in, and I went back to it.
So you went back to the job before?
Same job, yeah.
Same job, wow. What a culture shock for after all this coming back, I would imagine. And you were suffering from post-traumatic syndrome as well?
Well, somewhat, I guess. I never looked at it that way, though. I learned to take things as they come and not surprised at what happens.
And which Air Force were you flying with? And what kind of aircraft were you in when you were shot?
B-24 Liberator.
Liberator, yeah.
It was the largest at the time. I was in Africa when they sent the first B-29s overseas to go to the South Pacific, which became the big plane and the one that ended the war.
Yeah.
Wow. So.
And which Air Force were you flying with? Or Air Corps?
I can't hear you.
Oh, I was asking which Air Force. I'm trying to remember the different
Air Force.
8th Air Force. Oh. And had you flown the entire time out of England, or had you flown out of North Africa?
Well, we flew the southern route overseas to get over there, which is a story in itself.
Hmm.
We lost 5 airplanes before they made a combat mission.
What, just from accidents and training?
Or? Well, accidents and bad weather and that's a long story in itself, I guess. That's another story.
So you were actually flying your missions out of North Africa then?
No, we just flew the southern route to get over there, but we had to go out and away from Europe because the Germans had planes that would come out to try to catch us getting into England.
Okay, so you were flying out of England and taking the southern route.
Well, we flew into England to fly out of England to make the air raid, yes.
I see.
But the southern route, you went over from Portazel to to Carr, and then up to Marrakech, and then around the Horn to Wales, and then to England.
Wow. Wow. So, gosh, I mean, what's it like to be on a bombing raid like that? I mean, what are you guys thinking? What are you guys feeling? Is it just a teamwork thing? I mean...
Well, I always said if you didn't have any religion,
you started
you
getting
got
some.
A certain amount of it when you were flying on that flak. The fighters come around.
So it's kind of like in the movies where you see the flak going off the bombs
around
the plane?
Yeah, it would sound like rain or hail.
Wow. Have you ever watched the Memphis Belle? Was it kind of like that?
Oh, yeah. I've seen the shows. Somewhat, yes.
Somewhat.
Was it hard to go back up? I mean, after you flew a mission and you had all that going around you, and then...
Well, I thought very seriously after the second one where we'd had a bunch of fighters through, I would like to change jobs. But the colonel told all of us that go into town and have a drink or two and come back and you'll be ready again.
Wow. So what are you guys thinking? I mean, as far as your motivation, is this just survival? Is it about saving America from the Germans? What?
You never think it's going to happen to you, let's put it that way.
So you're just doing your job.
You're doing your job.
And how many missions had you flown prior to being shot down?
60 and a half.
Wow.
60 and a half?
Yeah.
That's a lot of missions.
Half was the one I went down on.
Yeah.
That's a lot of missions.
Wow.
We want to thank you for your service, that's for sure, and everything that you've done for us.
Well,
what was the name of your aircraft?
Well, we flew one by the name of Eager Beaver, which there was a lot of them, but we went down in Happy Hangover. But we flew the Dissipated Duck overseas. Of course, there was a saying, if you got through 10 missions, you usually had a better chance, because when you flew those new airplanes over, they went to the old crews, and you got what had been there and done it before.
So what kind of, I mean, so these planes, when they come back, they're going back and forth. They're getting all shot up in holes and everything
right.
else in them. So and they just keep repairing the same planes until they just won't fly?
That's right.
Wow, so
that's right.
You guys...
We had a little more distance than the B-17, so we were stationed up in the northern part around Norwich and so forth, where the B-17 was down around London. That's one of the reasons the publicity was so much for B-17s, because people like Clark Gable and those that come overseas to take those rides, and the short rides got all the publicity.
Well, it seems to me then you would be on a first-name basis in good terms with the mechanics.
Well, that's true. Of course, the day before that we went down, we had to feather the one prop and it kind of being hit, and we had an oil leak, and darned if they didn't have it fixed the next morning. So we take off.
What happens if the plane's not serviceable? You just wait till you get it serviceable?
Until it is.
I see. So you just stay there until...
Unless he's late, might assign you to another airplane. Depends on what they were doing and what they needed and so forth.
Wow, unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. I bet they serviced the planes quite often. They kept you busy.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they made sure that you weren't on ground too long.
The people would fly them during the day and they worked on at night. That's something like the loggers, where they drive the truck in the daytime and work on them at night.
Wow.
Wow. So you must have seen a lot of them not come back then. I mean, like you say, out of all these planes that went out, a lot of them shot down, a lot of them, didn't make it back on the flight back because they were shot, full of holes.
Well, in the different hospitals I was in, I've seen an awful lot of cases. There was a lot of burn cases, too, which were bad because of high octane gas being used in those airplanes. Like a 17 had an electrical system, then the 24 had hydraulic, and they could fly probably 3,000-4,000 feet higher than we could, because they could hold altitude better, although we were 10 miles an hour faster than they were. But the fighters, if they had a choice, probably would take the 24s because they perform better at lower altitude.
Do you think that if you had the choice to do this all over again, that you would have signed up?
I don't know. I've often thought of that.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys got...
So, out at the home, how's things going for you out there at the home now?
That's a wonderful place. It's tops.
Yeah.
You can't beat the service, you can't beat the people, and you can't beat the conditions.
Well, that's good to hear.
Good. Yeah, that's nice to hear. So if somebody wanted to come out and see you or look at your diaries, would you be willing to do that?
Well, I think so. If I knew ahead of time, I probably could be able to arrange it, yes.
Cool.
I would think that you know, there's a story to be told here, a book to be written, or something.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, he's got a lot. And he's got the diaries.
There's been a couple of write-ups in several magazines in England and a book out of Holland, but I haven't seen those. I do have some literature where the museum wrote and asked to put some of my records that I left with them up for so they could raise money and so forth.
Nice. Would you happen to know what the name of the book was?
Because you got a magazine. I know I don't. I
no,
can't
you don't.
Tell you offhand. I never received a copy of the mail book, but I do have a book there where the author that wrote quite a few books wrote me a letter thanking me for some literature that I furnished him.
Well, we got about 4 minutes left till the top of the hour, and we get cut off. Have you got anything you want to tell everybody out there, people wouldn't know about that, you know, you want to get out there?
Things were a little different in those days. we didn't have the proper training. The training that they get nowadays would have made a world of difference, but they wanted the bodies at that time, and they got them real fast, sent them over there unprepared, if you want to know the truth about it. And it's just one of those deals.
What was the average age of your crew?
Oh, from 19 to 25, probably.
Wow.
My pilot might have been a little older.
So how old were you?
I was 19.
You were 19. Wow.
Yeah.
I had a little more experience probably than some of them because I had made a few training missions with other crews.
So were you 19 when you went in or were you a little bit younger?
I was 19 when I went in.
Yeah.
I spent my 21st birthday in a...
concentration
hospital.
Hospital. Well, we're down to 2 minutes here, so
I just want to say we appreciate you coming on and sharing the time with us, and we want to thank you so much for your service and everything you've done for this country, sir.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's been a real honor to talk to you, sir. And
step out, and maybe we can talk again.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, we would like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
All right. Well, you have a wonderful day.
I'll give you back to her. No, she says she doesn't.
Okay.
Is that it?
That's it,
that's
sir.
It. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow. That was kind of an amazing interview in a lot of ways.
Well, and it sounds like there's so much more to tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About, you know, what happened and... You know, it's fascinating to me how much was given for this country, and you know the things that these guys went through to keep this country, and that's where a lot of the frustration comes through and things when people won't do so much as to get off of their couch to defend it, in the smallest of ways, in the easiest of ways, in the safest of ways to defend and take our country back. And you look at the things that these guys went through.
Yeah, and they think they have it so hard nowadays.
Well, and yeah. You know, when they talk about the greatest generation, I mean,
there it is.
It's hard to argue it.
Yep, and we're at the top of the hour, and you've been listening to Sovereign Minds, KCNR, 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Stay tuned for more of Sovereign Minds next on KCNR Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Heavy rain from a tropical depression has been pounding coastal South Carolina today. The South Carolina Highway Patrol says high water has forced them to close the southbound lanes of Interstate 95 near the Georgia border. A former tropical storm Bonnie has also churned up surf along the coast. Rescue crews in Carolina Beach near Wilmington, North Carolina, are looking for a 21-year-old man who disappeared last evening while swimming with two friends who made it to shore safely. Not so happy about the process of selecting a president this November? You are not alone.
70% of respondents to the Associated Press NORC poll described themselves as frustrated with the election. More than half of those surveyed, including majorities of both Republicans and Democrats, called themselves angry. Only 23% said they were excited about the election, while 37% said they felt hopeful.
Correspondent Linda Kinnon reporting. As we celebrate this Memorial Day weekend, SRN News military analyst Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis cautions us not to forget the reason.
Well, as I stand here next to the Pentagon, I can see Arlington Cemetery, where a quarter of a million American flags are set in front of the graves that represent men and women who have paid the ultimate sacrifice for the defense of this country.
McGinnis, a retired Army Ranger, reminds us that freedom is not free. Police say a Memorial Day cross display in Kentucky that honors the names of 5,000 veterans of conflicts dating back to the Revolutionary War has been vandalized by a driver who plowed through the crosses. Meanwhile, Virginia's National Park Service says a portion of the Petersburg National Battlefield has been declared a crime scene after looting there. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Did you know by age 50, half of all men have an enlarged prostate? This means more trips to the bathroom, longer time in the bathroom, waking at night to go, or issues in your romantic life. If this sounds familiar, call us now, because we're shipping free bottles of Super Beta Prostate to listeners of this station. Super Beta Prostate is a non-prescription formula guaranteed to reduce the symptoms of your enlarged prostate. It's yours, free. Pay only shipping and handling. Just call 1-800-952-3467. In clinical trials, the ingredient in Super Beta Prostate was shown to reduce urges to use the bathroom, speed up bathroom trips, reduce waking at night to go, and improve quality of life. This Super Beta Prostate free offer is for listeners of this station, but it won't last. Don't wait. Just call 1-800-952-3467. That's 1-800-952-3467. Call 1-800-952-3467.
Over 700 migrants are feared dead in three Mediterranean Sea shipwrecks south of Italy in the last few days as they desperately tried to reach Europe in unseaworthy smuggling boats. The wrecks over 3 days appear to account for the largest loss of life reported in the Mediterranean since April of last year when a single ship sank with an estimated 800 people trapped aboard. A spokesman for the UNHRC tells the AP that an estimated 100 people are missing from a smuggler's boat that capsized Wednesday off the coast of Libya. 550 other migrants and refugees went missing from another boat that went down Thursday morning. Jailed drug lord Joaquin El Chapo Guzman's fight to stave off extradition to the U.S. has led to a break amongst the people he's counting on most, his lawyers. Two of Guzman's attorneys filed an appeal against the extradition request. A third has disavowed it now. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Correspondent Ron DeRockstra wants to know, how do you plan to spend Memorial Day?
While it's the unofficial start of the summer, the original intent is to honor those who died while serving in the U.S. military. The National Moment of Remembrance Resolution, signed in December 2000, asks all Americans to voluntarily and informally observe a moment of remembrance in their own way at 3 p.m. local time. Decoration Day, as it was originally called, was created in 1868. It became Memorial Day in 1968 and a federal holiday in 1971. Ron DeRockstra reporting.
Today is Sunday, May the 29th, the 150th day of 2016. There are 216 days left in this year. On this date in history, 1848, Wisconsin became the 30th state in the Union. And on this date in 1953, Mount Everest was conquered as Edmund Hillary of New Zealand and Tenzing Norgay of Nepal became the first climbers to reach the summit. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The goodies, the gadgets, the gizmos. Every week, Boomer Tech Radio talks about the innovations and the developments in technology that are impacting your life. Hi, it's Bob Belongi, and for the past 6 years, Brenda and I have brought you the tech news you can really use. Sponsored by Advanced Automotive of Reading, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. It's analog living in a digital world on Boomer Tech Radio, heard noon to two Saturdays or streaming anytime on KCNR 1460.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Holiday Harbor, we've got it all for you. But we're more than just great houseboats. We have the vacation you have been looking for without the drive or airport hassle. Fishing boats, patio boats, 47-foot party cruisers, wakeboards, jet skis, and stand-up paddleboards. If it floats or you can pull it behind a boat, we probably have it for your enjoyment. Visit Holiday Harbor, exit 695 of Interstate 5, or go to lakeshasta.com. Holiday Harbor, your own vacation in town.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. We'll be in studio on Memorial Day remembering our veterans, but we'll also have guests. Steve Baird running for California State Senate for the 1st Congressional District, Grace Place, and Shasta Raceway. All will join us on Memorial Day right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Take the time to remember your veterans who have fallen in the defense of this country. KCNR 1460.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising 'cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
We're back. Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. You're listening to KCNR. You can get into the chat room at KCNR1460.com or call in at 530-605-4567. Boy, was that an interesting interview or what? I mean, it's hard to think of all the right questions to ask him because your mind is sitting here thinking about all the things that he's telling you and how to sort of put those into a perspective in your own mind.
Well, there's a lot of emotions that come across, or it does for me, that when you're, hearing his story and you're thinking, oh, my God,
that's,
to be in those shoes.
It is, and it, like Mark said, it's hard to put it in perspective because you hear about what this guy went through, and some of the stories of other veterans I know, like my family has a long military history.
Mm-hmm.
My great grandpa Ragsdale was on the Indianapolis, which is a story all into its own, and just some of the things that these guys went through. And then you look at the perspective of the day, where 18, 19-year-old kids, which is the same age as most of these guys,
yep.
18, 19, 20 years old, 18, 19, 20-year-old kids nowadays can't even figure out which bathroom they're going to use and need a safe place to hide from words.
That was the average.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Well, 19 was the average age of the soldiers going over during Vietnam.
Yeah,
and their life expectancy was 3 seconds.
You know what it is that the media really points that out, but they don't highlight the brave kids that are out there.
Yeah.
They don't highlight any of the people that have, you know, that moxie, that patriotism. You know, what we get highlighted is putting a wreath on, a Japanese bomber squadron. I'm not even sure what the memorial was for by Obama. And apologizing to the Japanese, and I'm thinking, didn't they attack us?
Yeah, without warning or without warning or justification.
So we're apologizing to them for the bomb, but they attacked us. They started the conflict. They, were having contests on beheading our soldiers.
Again,
everybody's sorry that it came to that. But at the same time, you go over and apologize to those guys, but you don't say a word about Pearl Harbor. You don't say a word about anything else.
I'm sorry, Robert.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, doesn't anybody find it kind of funny that that happened right on Memorial Day weekend? I mean, that bothers
kind of
me a lot, you know?
Kind of
slap in the
pisses
face.
Me off. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, these guys running the media and this moron in the White House, I mean.
Well, it was actually set up ahead of time between John Kerry and functionaries from a little group called the Sasakawa Peace Foundation. And those of you that listen to the show have heard us mention the war criminal Ryoichi Sasakawa and some of the connections and stuff that they have before.
Well, and it's just par, and it just gets me, too, when I hear the media talk about Obama like, oh, he's just misguided, and, oh, he really, he's not really a bad guy, and they never come to terms with he's a traitor.
He's evil.
Nobody wants to say it in the media because I guess those six big corporations that control all of our propaganda have a hard time. At what point in time does aiding and abetting the enemy, he's giving more to immigrants than he does to our veterans. I mean, at what point in time do you call a spade a spade?
Well, that's it. And it's they're not a news source anymore. They're propaganda. They're advertising agencies.
By the way, that's not a racist comment either. I'm talking about cards.
That could have been a club.
What does spades have to do with racism?
Well, nothing. Sure. But everything anymore.
It's an old expression you're obviously not familiar with.
Yeah. Is there something I'm missing? Should I be looking for my safe space?
There is no safe space.
If you crawl into the corner and assume the fetal position and start sucking your thumb, you're out of here, okay?
Okay.
You're fired.
Man. So the pink hair and a pound of metal in my face is out of the question, too, probably.
The pink hair and the... I have to think about that for a second.
You do?
The pink hair.
Okay.
And a pound of metal. I'm not sure exactly what that means.
Well, yeah,
I don't think I want to see
it. You've seen all the guys running around, the guys and girls running around with the lip ring and the nose ring and the 14 earrings and the eyebrow ring and the cheek studs.
Oh, yeah. See,
you ever just want to take a big magnet and run it across your face and watch what happens?
I just don't get it. I guess I just don't get it. It's like the whole pants sag. I'm looking at the guy and I'm thinking, you know, you're a thug, and you can't even run from the cops.
Well,
I know.
You know what's really funny about sagging? You know where sagging originated?
Yeah, L.A.
Yeah,
County Jail.
Yeah, men open for business, boys.
Well, they took their belts away from them, was the other side of that is what I heard, too. They take their belts away from them because they're going to use them to fight with each other. So as a sign of rebellion, they pull their pants down.
Well, from what I understand from some of the people that I grew up with.
You're not talking about personal experience.
No, I'm not talking about personal experience.
You were a little slow in getting that conversation out,
What I'm saying is from people that I know and have been there that in the penitentiary system when you sag your drawers it's letting the other inmates know that the Keister Bunny's in town.
Are you saying it's some kind of a signal?
It is.
Is it kind of like running up a white flag?
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, remind note to self, if incarcerated.
That's okay. I'm not planning on going to jail. And
pull your pants up like Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah, they better be to your nipples, man.
You better look like Ed, what's his name, that Martin Short plays. you know, little strings over your shoulders like Jed Clampett or Jethro or something.
Something. So.
Oh.
But yeah, it's ridiculous what it's come to. But like you said, a lot of it's advertising. We're not seeing the stories about our good soldiers. We're not seeing the stories about, you know, solid young Americans. It's
right.
We're seeing the crap that's thrown at us.
And you gotta just put that to the side, because I think that we are in a lot better than we're being told we are. I believe that America is starting to become America again. I believe that America is going to be great again, and I'm not just saying that because I like Donald Trump. I'm saying that people are starting to figure this out. The internet has changed the rules. You can only, you know, lie to everybody so much without becoming a liar. Speaking of Hillary Clinton, I mean,
going what? To prison. She's going to prison.
We can hope. Actually, I don't think she is.
I'm actually starting. That train a coming.
Yeah, I'm even starting to believe she's finally headed to prison.
It's rolling round the bend.
I mean,
I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. Yeah, I'm hoping.
Will they let her take Bill with her?
I don't know. Bill's like the you know, the Teflon pedophile.
I swear the dude's got hepatitis. It's something. He is not looking good.
You know, I'm telling you, I think they're going to indict her. I think they're going to. See, here's the key about the government and this big monster, this big centralized monster that we're having to come to grips with finally, that our founding fathers warned us about, is that they will consume their own when they become a liability.
And they are.
And that's what's happening with Hillary. She has become a liability. Because, not because they don't think that she's, you know, one of the crew, not because she's not evil enough, not because she's not, you know, one of them. It's because she has been exposed for being one of them. Her corruption is being exposed finally through, you know, Judicial Watch and the internet. And people, I mean, I saw a thing on MSNBC the other day where they're all starting to have to come to terms with it after this Inspector General's report that comes out and says, yeah, she's a liar. She lied. She's a criminal. And now finally they're starting to say it too, because they know something, that they're going to have to throw her to the wolves, I think.
Well, what hasn't she lied about?
Yeah, the shorter list is, what have they told the truth about?
Yeah, I mean, what has she been truthful
she
about?
She is going to go all the way to the, you know, figuratively speaking, electric chair, screaming she didn't do it.
Are we taking bets whether Hillary lives long enough to testify? Because she is one of the meanest, most spiteful witches on the face of the planet, and she will light the house on fire on the way out.
I'm waking up in the middle of the night right now thinking of songs to play when her demise occurs. I mean, you know,
ding dong, the witch.
That's number one on the list. Hall and Oates, she's gone.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, so let's just see what happens. But I don't think she can get through this. She's becoming damaged goods. But then we got the burn.
The communist.
Yeah. Yeah, hey, how's that working out in Venezuela for you? They asked him the other day, and he's like, you know, I mean.
Yay, socialism.
Yay, socialism. Can you pass the rat and the pigeon and, you know, put a little almondine sauce on the little sauce on
a little parsley garnish. A
little parsley garnish, yeah, which was really more, you know, something you pulled up off the sidewalk. Looks kind of like foxtails. But that, we should probably go to a break and invite our guests to.
This has been KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Further I fall, no time at all. I'm falling faster and faster and faster, with no time to stall. The closer you get, the further I fall. Could I be dreaming? Is this really real? Or is there something magic?
And they call me the mouth.
And I'm Red. They call me the bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame. I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
Memorial Day. How do we celebrate it? By remembering our fallen military men and women. My father's headstone reads Veteran, World War II. Because the cemetery is far away, it had been several years since I visited. It is a peaceful place with a lot of trees. Suddenly, I was interrupted by laughter. I turned around to see a young woman laying out a blanket and putting out a picnic lunch. Her two little girls were chasing each other and giggling loudly. I immediately felt anger. This was not a place for play. Then the young woman sat on the blanket in front of the grave, and I heard her say, "Hello, honey. We thought we would spend the day with you. I just wanted you to know the girls and I are doing fine, and we miss you very much." My heart immediately broke. I turned around to give them their moment of privacy while fighting back tears. We must remember our veterans, and their families, too. Coach Master, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with your local hometown mortgage officer, Megastar Financial. Hi, I'm John Whitmarsh, and I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience without headache or hassle. I offer competitive rates for conventional home loans, home improvement, FHA, VA, and USDA loans. So talk to me today, John Whitmarsh with Megastar Financial, because our home is right here, and I want to help you with yours. Call me at 530-945-9660 or find me at MegastarFinancial.com.
Megastar is an equal housing lender, MLS ID 30043.
Each Saturday at 9 o'clock, it's the Ron Largent Show, talking about Reading. And we have great community sponsors.
Russell Cleaning Services, both residential and commercial cleaning. Shasta Athletic Club, the place for fitness in Reading. Revolve Solar, save on those energy bills. And Authority Property Management, the pros in property management.
Each week we cover many interesting topics. Our goal is to inform you of what's happening. So tune in each Saturday at 9 o'clock to keep informed. The Ron Largent Show, it's the happening place.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows for the Northern California Veterans Museum. Reminding you, this Memorial Day weekend, there are three ceremonies on Monday we would like to invite you to honor our fallen veterans. The first service on Monday is at 10 a.m. at Reading Memorial Park on Continental Street. The second starts at 11 a.m. at the Veterans Grove at the Reading Civic Auditorium. And then at Igo Veterans Cemetery at 5:55 in the evening. Please take every opportunity to honor our veterans at one of these ceremonies on Monday. And remember, freedom isn't free. Thank you.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Sovereign Mind Radio. Man, if you don't like that, sorry, I can't help you. Little Joe Walsh there. I was in a big Joe Walsh mood this morning for some reason. I was listening to Funk 49 and James Gang stuff. Good stuff. Anyway.
So what you're saying is you were having an episode.
I think I was having an LSD flashback when I listened to Funk 49. Not that I ever took any, but
I was metaphorically. Say flashback. Yeah, right. Let's see.
What you hear?
If flashbacks were to occur, that's what you imagine they would be like.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't have anything to do with me having those big kaleidoscope black light posters on the ceiling, and I turned the light on and just kind of, you know. So it was like out of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band there for a second.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, and we lived in a yellow submarine type thing.
Yeah. The girl with the plasticine eyes.
You might have been in the yellow submarine. Not all of us were there, but...
Yeah. Well, that's,
I think you were in the red submarine. Yeah.
It's Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, the girl with the plasticine eyes.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I was thinking polyethylene, what about Pam?
I think polyethylene and plasticine actually make an explosive, metaphorically speaking, that I don't have knowledge of.
Yeah, you wouldn't know anything about that, would you?
Not that I ever read that book. You know, what was that, the Anarchist Cookbook or something?
Oh, really?
I never heard of that. Anyway, we're in the studio here with our guest, Steve Baird, who is running against Ted Gaines.
Bubbles the chimp.
Nice. He had to do it.
Nice try.
Couldn't help it.
He was laughing so hard before he came on the air. I didn't know if he was going to bring it together, you know?
We got our schedule a little mixed up this morning, so, you know, we're going to probably run out of time, as much time as we'd like to give you. But, you know, you're running against Ted Gaines. Who's Ted Gaines, anyway? I mean...
Well, I can give you a little bit of current history on him. He ran for the what I call AD6, Assembly District 6, back in the mid-2000s, and he won a seat. But then Dave Cox passed while he was in the Senate and for Senate District 1. So Ted ran for that seat and won, and there was created a special election for AD6, which his wife won. And going on from there, so they each got reelected, and now we fast forward to 2016, and Ted has already signed up for this election. He's already signed up for the Board of Equalization in 2018, and his wife has slid over to El Dorado County. They moved from Placer County, so she could be Board of Supervisor, First District there. Kind of as a holding pattern, while Ted runs for the Board of Equalization in 2018, she already has a campaign set up for Senate District 1, 2020. But if Ted wins the Board of Equalization, she can switch that to take his seat in 2018. So there's the entire playbook for the Gaines 2016.
Career politician moves.
Yes.
Did she slide or slither? I'm not sure when you go over to El Dorado, is there a place to slide or?
There's a dirt track that you can get on and sidewinder your way all the way there.
So Gaines already has plans not to even finish his full term.
Absolutely.
That he's running for. He only intends on doing half of the job anyways.
And in doing so, that's going to cost the 11 counties that cover this district millions of dollars for a special election.
So you have to have a special election then.
Right. And what also is the worst part is while he vacates that slot and for the amount of time that nobody's sitting in the seat, the first district, for as large as it is, about one-seventh of California in physical terms, is unrepresented. And all that time... Anything that happens, zero representation, and you might even create a supermajority in that small window of time. If the Democrats get enough senators in there, then they can take a two-thirds vote and really start jamming things down our throat.
But what does that matter as long as he gets to continue his traveling through being a government employee?
Well, I have no words for that. I'm flummoxed why anybody would think that they can do that.
And
to
didn't
the
he actually
people.
Do that the last election where he tried to vacate his seat for insurance commissioner?
Yeah, he likes to run an off-cycle election, so he doesn't care. It's other people's money. I've got it kind of listed on our Facebook site. 8.5 pages of corporate interest that have been financing him for this Senate run. and the list is long and distinguished, but there's a very short list of people or corporations that support them within district. There's about two-thirds of a page on that. I did strip out all the personal donors. I wouldn't expose them, but just the corporate donors that I've got on there. But it's 8.5 pages. And
who are the big corporate donors?
Insurance companies, huge. He runs insurance, and so you see Aetna, you see this, you see Pacific. It just goes on and on and on, and they're all out of state. And then some odd ones, one of the ones that was oddest was Google and Facebook have both donated a couple times. And in doing so, I put up these sheets, and Facebook stripped them off the first time around. And so I put it up there again and boosted it. And so they kind of allowed it for a while because they were getting money from me. And eventually they killed the boost because they were listed on page 2 or 3. And so
strange.
So I don't think I've ever seen Ted Gaines. I mean, does he actually exist, or is he like a figment of our imagination here in the North State?
We actually saw him back in November. He was in car number 2 at the
Veterans Parade.
Hiding underneath a hooded sweatshirt.
Yeah, so yeah. 49er sweatshirt running along.
It was actually so bad that the last time Gaines traveled here in any kind of capacity to deal with his constituents, Brian Daly came in first, and this was at Ted Gaines' office in the downtown mall in Reading. Brian Daly came in, immediately began mingling with the crowd, talking to people, doing different things. Ted Gaines arrives with an entourage of like 4 CHP officers, the Reading police chief, and the Shasta County sheriff in tow to protect him.
From who?
Apparently he thinks we don't like him.
Apparently, I think he's right, but I'm not sure anybody's going to take him out in the Shasta Dam Veterans Parade.
Well, no. And so we're at the downtown mall, and there's this town hall going on, and Assemblyman Daly is fielding questions from the crowd and talking to people. And somebody finally stands up and looks, and Ted Gaines has been standing next to Assemblyman Daly for 10, 12 minutes, okay? And somebody stands up and says, Brian, I'm going to ask you, when is the senator going to get here and answer our questions? And who is that guy that's standing next to you? And kind of sheepishly, Brian Daly turns around and goes, this is your senator. And the guy shows up. You know, he shows up in a pair of loafers and some sagging khakis and a half a buttoned-up shirt, drinking his cappuccino like he could care less. The guy doesn't care about his district or anything. All he wants is to ensure his government paycheck and his contributions.
It's kind of like a Where's Waldo thing, you know, I mean, except it's Where's Ted?
Well, I think there's actually a technical word for it that doesn't translate into English. I believe it's schlemiel.
Schlemiel?
Schlemiel.
Schlemazel?
Yeah.
This is bad about all of us growing up at the same time.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm thinking Schmeckle, but, you know. Just saying. So, let's, without getting into bashing Ted too much here, even though...
Well, is it bashing if it's telling, if you're just, you're making statements of fact? It's not...
Well, he doesn't really seem like he's representing the North State at all.
Well, his latest attempts at legislation have been 2 tax holidays. So this is a forerunner to running for the Board of Equalization to prove that he's your big tax fighter. He is, first one is a tax holiday, 2nd August in the school year, and it's for school supplies, so books, shoes, clothing, and all that. But it's only a partial piece of the tax, which makes it very hard to operate that for businesses, both large and small.
I'm missing out here. So when you see a tax holiday, somebody's not paying the tax?
Right. You're not supposed to pay a portion of the sales tax
to go. That's going to the schools?
No, it's just your regular sales tax.
Oh, I see.
So you go buy a box of pencils at your local drugstore.
Right.
And so if you're an 80-year-old... Is that a school supply? Are you going to community college? Do I tax you? Do I not? So it's kind of a crazy...
Oh, that's I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the exemption on the tax for educators.
No, this is for everybody. So if you're going to take Sally or Johnny and you're going to go buy their school clothes for that one weekend in August, you're not supposed to charge a portion of that sales tax for those items. But
well, now is that...
That's
like,
one
like
day.
Like you said, is there an age limit on who can purchase the pencils?
It doesn't really say in the law. It just basically says these are the items that you purchase.
Is that a number two pencil made by such and such a company, or is that any pencil, mechanical pencil?
Doesn't really outline it.
Doesn't really matter because it doesn't sound like there's any money involved here anyway.
No, but... If you're looking,
a limit on how much I could buy? Like, could I buy a lifetime supply of pencils during the tax holiday?
If you were a teacher, it might come in handy. But then he actually doubled down on this idea, did the same thing for hunters and fishermen the first September and first October weekends to do the same thing. So what he's doing, he's setting up his BOE run and said, look at all the tax legislation I brought forward. Not that it didn't get smashed into the ground, but I'm your tax guy.
So it doesn't even get passed.
We don't know if it's going to get passed. Yeah.
On a hunter's and fisherman's tax holiday, does that mean I can get my hunting and fishing license for free?
No, the taxes on it.
You need a hunting
it
and fishing
tax.
But you also need the license to actually have that savings apply to you, or you need a lifetime membership.
It is a tax.
You need a license and a fishing license, a hunting license to fish and hunt in California?
Shh, yes.
Oops. Sorry. Ruh-roh. Well, tell us what you're going to do, Steve. I mean, because we can talk about Ted Gaines. We know that Ted's a loser. We know that Ted hasn't been representing us. We know that Ted, you know, no gains and, you know, we'll have a lot less pains. But what are you going to do to start turning this thing around in California?
Well, I kind of like to buck the system a little bit and try to get representation restored to the North State in one of two methods, either the joint resolution for the formation of the state of Jefferson, which I love somebody had something in the opinion piece today that says, this is not legal, and if anybody ever tries to do this, they should uphold their oaths of office. Like, if you read the Constitution, you looked at Article 4, Section 3, mm-hmm. you would understand there's a blueprint of how to split a state. And also, if you look up Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution, you would realize that all power is bowed into the people. And if they see a need or to change government, they should do it.
Or abolish it.
It did say that as well. And so this ridiculous notion that it isn't legal is perfectly legal. It's just a way of exercising our rights. Also, I'd like to get out there. Why don't we have a senator for all the 58 counties? And that's kind of a precursor to the lawsuit, which I know they talk about in Jefferson State of Mind quite a bit. And if we are allowed to get back to the good old days, pre-1964, where the rural counties could fend off some of the idiotic urban legislation, we'd be much better off.
Such as, what idiotic legislation have we been subjected to?
Oh, the passel of 11 bills against the Second Amendment. They're trying to strip through there. When we had the fire fee, that was another perfect example. That's what I call the ultimate test balloon, if we can be taxed without any representation at all. And they could do it.
And they did it.
You wait for the per mile fee. Maybe they say, well, every time you go over 10,000 miles a year, maybe we're charging a nickel a mile. But what prevents them from saying 50 cents a mile, $5 a mile, $50? There is nothing. We are helpless. We are defenseless against the South.
My question is, too, what does that do to the fact that the mileage for your business vehicles is tax deductible? Who does that really hit twice? Average citizens,
because the businesses will be able to write it off if they can. And then it really just soaks in. Your local farmer has to drive 20 miles just to get his mm-hmm. mail. And it's one of those ridiculous things that I think that we should start to peel back. But all these pieces of legislation, and I've got 98 of them posted online there, that people can go ahead and read through at bairdforsenate.org on the Solutions tab. But there are just a number of items we can start peeling back all the legislation. Heck, I'm really excited about the impending lawsuit for the state of Jefferson, or basically, it's not the state of Jefferson. Technically, it's the dilution of vote. Mm-hmm. And that dilution of vote case, if we can get between 2,000 and 5,000 representatives, what I really like about that is the utter dysfunction. That means no bills will get passed, which means that we won't become criminals daily in our lives.
You know, gridlock is not a bad thing in some circumstances.
It is not. And when they used to have all those budget fights way back when they could never get anything passed, when they slow-rolled everything, a lot more of us stayed legal. And then there's the fact that when you have 120 people, that's an easy number of to slip money into pockets. When you have 2,000 or 5,000, which if you consider a state like New Hampshire, what do they have, close to 400 representatives for just a postage stamp style state? Mm-hmm. If you can have, you know, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 in the assembly, it'd be impossible to bribe all those people. And so you can get back to real core government. And then you would have your Cincinnatus-type representative. He goes in, he takes care of business for his constituents, and he goes home, the gentleman farmer.
Yeah, that's what the founders envisioned. And we are so far gone from the framework that they set up at this point. That's why we're seeing so many problems. It really is. You know, we don't have representation in the North State at all. I mean, like you say, they pass a tax down in L.A. That they don't have to pay, and they put it onto us who has to pay it, and we can't even stop it because we don't have any representation in the government in Sacramento.
Yeah, you have 15 senators in Los Angeles County alone out of 40. Yeah, one county that's running the whole show.
And these guys don't care, do they? I mean, let's talk really, you know, what it is. They want to leave the system the same. Gaines, Dahl, the other guy that's running, Rowan, Democratic, moderate Democrat, according to the paper. But these guys, they don't support the state of Jefferson, do they?
No. In fact, Ted Gaines came right out and said it. I don't know how this would work. And Dolly's big thing is, well, you don't have enough valid signatures. Well, that's kind of crazy because I've done the calcs on that based on either the supervisor signing groups in or like in Shasta County where 30,000 people signed in. You're looking at a state of 1.9 million, well over 800,000 people represented and personally signed. Mm-hmm. So you're talking almost 50%. And so when they say there's not enough signature support for this, they're going to find out it's going to be vastly different than they think that it is now.
Well, isn't it telling, too, that Brian Daly has now been basically endorsed by the Democratic candidate?
He was. He said, I agree with everything Brian said. I've been in four debates with Mr. Rowan, and all he says is, like Steve said in his answer, or I support what Brian's doing. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, so if you're the chair of the Democratic Party in Shasta County, but you're in love with all the Republican tenants, are you on either the wrong side of the aisle, or are you the ultimate chameleon?
Well, or are the Republicans really Democrats?
Or all three?
I think it is a combination. I think that there's a Monty party going on here, and I think that the joke is really on us. Our representation is fried.
Well, they don't really care about us. What they care about is getting the money, because it seems like all you got to do is get elected and you start getting rich.
Yep.
Seems to be. I mean, the graft and corruption is completely out of control at all levels.
And my run for Senate has basically been a vow of poverty. You know, we've been running all up and down the state pretty much on personal finances. I know the papers have been printing, Steve Barrett has not submitted his financials. I have submitted my financials. That's why they haven't come after me, because in Placer County, they give us Netfiler for free. And so it's one of the premier software packages, especially in California. It automatically fills out your 460s for you. I send them in, and then Placer goes, hey, give me a signed copy. And I take the same signed copy down to the Secretary of State, just walk downtown about 10 blocks and hand it to them, and they stamp it, and we're good to go.
Well, there's nothing to attack is really what they're saying.
No, but they're saying that I haven't filed, and I've filed on time every time.
I don't know. Go ahead, Linda.
Well, there was a few things that I wanted to see you to hit upon, was like the $15 an hour minimum wage. How do you feel about that?
That's just another nail in the coffin of California. They are trying to get businesses running out of here, screaming in droves. And it will be great for the automation industry. You know, I'd love to have stock in robotics right now, because they're going to try to figure out every way, shape, and form to have that frontline customer experience be done automatically.
They've already done it in Arizona. I mean, they've already got a prototype of completely automated systems now, where you come in to the McDonald's and it's all done by computers by the customer.
But if you look at the genesis over time, first we had these high wages, which chases out all the manufacturing industries out of the United States, which leaves us a service industry. Now you jack up the wages for the people who are in the service industry, and they're going to take the same mechanical automation that they shipped offshore, import it back in here, and replace those workers as well.
Yep.
Well, that's another thing that's a big issue up here, especially in the first district, is enabling and granting de facto rights to illegal aliens, which Ted Gaines signed on a statement of support that was sent to the Supreme Court, where he basically told his constituents, I believe illegal aliens should have the exact same amount of representation as you do, even if that means that you lose up to 15% of the control of your legislature to people who are non-citizens.
Yeah, and that was SJR 13 basically complaining to the Supreme Court, and even Well versus Abbott, don't pick up this case. We like what Reynolds did. Everybody in the world should be counting. Everybody deserves representation. And that's not true. It's American citizens who should be making these selections of those who deserve representation. It also points out there's a huge pool of money that's being spent on resident aliens here when that money could be spent on our veterans. I mean, that's the first thing you look at when you're trying to attack the homeless problem. Where's a pot of money that's easily grabbed? And that's it. You know, you can invite these workers to leave the country and say, we do believe in a path to citizenship. We already have one. Go through the legal process. Mm-hmm. But there's a pot of money that we could use to satisfy American needs.
Oh, we don't need to worry about it. We're Mexico now anyway. So, you know, yeah. Doesn't matter anymore. You just go down to a Trump rally and wave the Mexican flag. And, it's unbelievable.
I mean, another one I don't get. They're mad because Donald Trump called them thugs and rapists, so they go and start a riot and burn cop cars to prove
that they're thugs and rapists. While waving Mexican flags, which I don't know about you, but when I see that on TV, it turns my blood boil. Not because I'm against Mexico. This is American soil. This, you know, you want to come and protest on American soil. Then you better think twice, because what they're doing is they're creating their own opposition through their acts.
Mm-hmm.
With that, we do have to go to a break.
If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
This is Kyle DeFore with Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista. This Memorial Day weekend, we'd like to invite all veterans and active duty military personnel and their spouses to enjoy 10% off everything in the store. That's right, 10% off everything but gas and propane for all active duty veterans and their spouses from Friday to Monday, May 27th through the 30th. It's our way of saying thank you for your service and your sacrifice. That's Mighty Fine Foods at 299 in Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista, your one-stop shop on the way to the lake.
You're paralyzed by the possibilities when it comes to dealing with your windows. What about function? Total darkness? Filtered light? Should there be a lining? And then there's fabric. Do you need blinds, curtains, drapes, shutters? Maybe a layered look. What about installation? At Budget Blinds Reading, you're given the very best of two worlds. Locally owned service and the peace of mind knowing Budget Blinds Reading offers more brands and more fashion-forward styles with window treatment options that work within your budget. Jerry and the whole Budget Blinds Reading team are dedicated to giving you design help to create a home that reflects your personality.
My goal for our customer here at Budget Blinds is when we walk out of the house, it's nicer than it was when we walked in. The customer got exactly what they wanted. If you're in need of custom window coverings, shutters, blind shades, draperies, give Budget Blinds a call today, 226-9027, or visit us on the web at www.budgetblinds.com.
What shall we do about them?
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
What shall we do about them?
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. We'll be in studio on Memorial Day remembering our veterans, but we'll also have guests. Steve Baird running for California State Senate for the 1st Congressional District, Grace Place, and Shasta Raceway. All will join us on Memorial Day right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Take the time to remember your veterans who have fallen in the defense of this country. KCNR 1460.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
We don't have to go to Mexico. Mexico came here. The cantina on the corner is lazy. Mariachi music is everywhere. Mariscos on the grill smoking hazy. Spanish floats in the air. It's a scene from old Mexicali. From here to the Ohio Valley. And we're saving all that money on airfares. Don't have to put all those miles on the car. We might as well be south of the border, right where we are. I can drink margaritas with my sweet chiquita any time of the year. We don't have to go to Mexico. Mexico came here.
Yeah, we don't have to go to Mexico. Just go to a Trump rally. Yeah, I mean, obviously that music's kind of funny and sort of not. Because if you want to have Mexico here, then just don't do anything. If you want to become America again, then you better start showing up. You better start getting involved. You better start voting for people who support America. And not, you know, foreign countries and foreign citizens and immigrants over Americans and veterans. I mean, you know, that's really what we're talking about here. Sure, it's kind of funny listening to that music, but at the same time, if it doesn't wake you up, then someone needs to slap you in the head. Because if you're not waking up at some point, just go back to sleep and wait for them to take all your stuff, because that's where we're headed.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Was that?
I know we only have a few more minutes, but I think there was something Steve wanted to get out to the listeners.
Yeah, there was. My wife and I were driving up to Reading the other day, and started reading me a speech by Oliver Wendell Holmes, and I think the fourth paragraph really kind of hit me because it had so many things that we're going through today, and why Memorial Day is here, and actually believing in something. So. The indifferent inquirer who asks why Memorial Day is still kept up, as we may, it celebrates and solemnly affirms from year to year a national act of enthusiasm and faith. It embodies in the most impressive form our belief that the act with enthusiasm and faith is the condition of acting greatly.
to fight out a war, you must believe in something and want something with all your might. You must do to carry anything else to the end, exactly where you may come out. All that is required of you is that you should go somewhere hither as hard as ever as you can. The rest belongs to fate. One may fall at the beginning of the charge or at the top of the earthworks, but no other way can one reach the rewards of victory.
Wow. Yeah, wow. You need to believe in something or you'll be fooled by anything, I think was the song, and that's kind of what's being said there. You know, do you believe in American values? Do you believe in the Constitution? Do you believe in Judeo-Christian values things like honoring your parents and not stealing and killing and not taking other people's stuff and private property? What do you believe in, I guess, is the question. And if people aren't asking themselves out there and they're too busy riding their bike and not worrying about, you know, anything else and not, you know, understanding the sacrifices that were made, why this is Memorial Day weekend.
And what makes America, America, that's...
After you listen to the World War II survivor earlier in the show and what they went through, if you guys can't put that together out there, then we're in trouble. But I think we are putting it together.
Well, we absolutely are. And, you know, I think there is a great dissatisfaction among the American people that has progressed to frustration that is slowly slipping into rage. I think that... people are losing their patience. They're losing their temperament with it. They're tired of America being run into the ground.
Yeah, and for me, when I read that paragraph, you know, it was basically said, there have been people who have served, who have died for you. What do you believe in? What are you willing to step forward for? And right now, if you're just enjoying Monday night football and you come do your 9-to-5 and you're just going through the motions, stand up for something. If the news bothers you, the mainstream media bothers you, there is something you can do. Step forward, take a leadership position, but get out there. Because if you sit on the couch and you constantly complain, this is exactly what you get. And when they slap the irons on you, and we're going to have a little demonstration about that at the Capitol on June 2nd, Jeffersonians are going to go out there, they're going to go chain together, representing in a physical manifestation what the laws of California have done to the North State.
I just want to get in there that if people would realize there's been over 1.2 million men and women that have lost their lives and sacrificed the ultimate for us here for our freedom over the years. Well, that's a lot of men and women.
We put flags on the graves yesterday, me and my grandson, over at the McDonald Cemetery. And after being there for an hour or so and seeing how many flags started going up, it gave you a little bit more perspective even, because you don't realize how many people, you know, have been involved in the process of, you know, America and defending it.
Yep.
And when we were out there, my wife and I were out there as well, we went to the back of the cemetery where they had a lot of the older headstones, and so you had fewer flags out there. But you looked at the date ranges on there, and you know that half of those people were involved in one form or fashion of warfare or another. Yeah. There were a lot of stuff, and then it was great. We actually talked to one gentleman that said, oh, you have to learn how to read some of these headstones because these are actually Civil War headstones, and he told you how to read the company and where they came from.
Right.
So we were actually able to mark those as well, because the kids didn't know it. We frankly didn't know it, but we were able to interpret that, and so we were able to mark probably an additional 15 headstones from the Civil War.
Well, there's not only the McDonald Cemetery, there's the Igo
Cemetery.
And then another one that a lot of people don't know about is the Whiskeytown Cemetery. Mm-hmm. Some of the old graves out there.
There's actually quite a few veterans out there.
There's a lot of veterans. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of gravestones of the original settlers of the area out in Whiskeytown.
We've gone out to the one at Whiskeytown and there's went around too. But they're still burying them out there at Whiskeytown too.
There's been a lot of blood and treasure over the years since the beginning of our country that has sacrificed to keep us free, and we need to remember that on Memorial Day.
Right now, I think, engaged in one of the most dangerous fights we've ever been in, because we're fighting for our soul. Who are we as a people? What are we? What do we stand for? What does America represent? And for the last 20, 30 years, what we represent has been run into the dirt. It's been trampled on. It's been beat into the ground.
We've been hammered with propaganda by people in power that have agendas other than what the American people have.
And we, the American people, I fell asleep during that time. Unfortunately, we fell asleep and took it for granted that they were, had our best interest at heart.
Well,
and they didn't, and they don't. And they don't care.
And that's why it's vital that we get guys like Steve into office.
Well, here's a call to freedom.
Yep, and with that, you've been listening to Sovereign Minds. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State. Stay tuned for the third hour.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Rain is washing out Memorial Day weekend plans for many in South Carolina and making bad business for Mike Wagner, who rents beach gear on Hilton Head Island.
Pretty much a washout. Yesterday, we were fine for the morning, early afternoon, but after about 2 o'clock, it started rain, so the beaches started to clear out.
Tropical Depression Bonnie came ashore this morning just east of Charleston. Forecasters say up to 8 inches of rain have fallen in parts of southern South Carolina. A flash flood warning was issued for Jasper County, where the southbound lanes of busy Interstate 95 were closed because of high water. Slowly rising rivers in southeastern Texas have led to numerous evacuations this weekend, including two prisons. Floods that followed days of torrential rain have killed at least 4 people in Texas, and 2 are missing after their vehicle was swept off a flooded roadway. In Kansas, the search is resumed for an 11-year-old boy who fell into a swollen creek on Friday. Officials in Cleveland are ready to present an overview of preparations for the Republican National Convention.
Tuesday's session will cover public safety, medical services, emergency management, and more. The meeting comes after the Greensboro, North Carolina Police Department rescinded its offer to send 50 officers to the July convention, citing worries about insurance coverage and Cleveland's readiness to host the event, which is expected to draw 50,000 visitors when it kicks off July 21st. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
The UN Refugee Agency says it was a deadly week this past week for migrants on the high seas. A spokesman for the UNHCR says 3 shipwrecks involving smuggling boats on the Mediterranean Sea may have drowned as many as 700 refugees south of Italy. A federal judge is ordering the release of Trump University internal documents in a class action lawsuit against the now-defunct real estate school. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Did you know by age 50, half of all men have an enlarged prostate? This means more trips to the bathroom, longer time in the bathroom, waking at night to go, or issues in your romantic life. If this sounds familiar, call us now, because we're shipping free bottles of Super Beta Prostate to listeners of this station. Super Beta Prostate is a non-prescription formula guaranteed to reduce the symptoms of your enlarged prostate. It's yours, free. Pay only shipping and handling. Just call 1-800-952-3467. In clinical trials, the ingredient in Super Beta Prostate was shown to reduce urges to use the bathroom, speed up bathroom trips, reduce waking at night to go, and improve quality of life. This Super Beta Prostate free offer is for listeners of this station, but it won't last. Don't wait. Just call 1-800-952-3467. That's 1-800-952-3467. Call 1-800-952-3467.
Israel's Internal Security Service says it has arrested 6 Palestinians from the West Bank, suspected of preparing explosives and planning the bomb attack on a bus in Jerusalem that wounded 21 Israelis last month. Officials with Shin Bet say that the suspected militant cell from the Bethlehem area was planning other car bombings and shooting attacks. One of the detained suspects apparently learned how to build bombs by watching online videos. An American bomb dropped during World War II has been defused at the airport in Hanover, Germany, in an operation that forced dozens of flights to be diverted. Local authorities decided to search for possible bombs today after experts carrying out soundings of the soil ahead of resurfacing work detected magnetic interference at 2 sites. A 550-pound U.S. bomb was found and was safely taken apart. News and analysis at townhall.com. From Washington, I'm Michael Harrington. A 1,500-mile stretch of Interstate 35 from northern Minnesota to southern Texas is going to be informally dubbed the Monarch Highway.
That's Monarch, as in Monarch butterflies. I-35 is a flyway for the insects migrating between Mexico and Canada, and a half-dozen states have signed an agreement with the feds to create a more lush refuge and more food along the route for butterflies and bees in hopes of helping to boost their sagging populations. These insects pollinate plants that produce much of the nation's food.
Correspondent Rich Thomason. Today is Sunday, May the 29th. It's a birthday for some notable people. Former baseball commissioner Fay Vincent is 78 years old today. Motorsports Hall of Famer Al Unser turns 77. Actor Kevin Conway, 74 years old today. Singer LaToya Jackson is 60. And actress Annette Bening is 58 years old. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Wings of Summer Butterflies opens at Turtle Bay for a limited engagement again this summer. From May 1st to July 10th, you can observe hundreds of butterflies in a tranquil, enclosed garden. Up to 32 species of butterflies will arrive as chrysalis and will enclose in the butterfly house. You can witness this magical experience or even release your own butterfly for just a dollar. The butterfly house is open daily starting May 1st. For park hours and information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Memorial Day. How do we celebrate it? By remembering our fallen military men and women. My father's headstone reads Veteran, World War II. Because the cemetery is far away, it had been several years since I visited. It is a peaceful place with a lot of trees. Suddenly, I was interrupted by laughter. I turned around to see a young woman laying out a blanket and putting out a picnic lunch. Her two little girls were chasing each other and giggling loudly. I immediately felt anger. This was not a place for play. Then the young woman sat on the blanket in front of the grave, and I heard her say, "Hello, honey. We thought we would spend the day with you. I just wanted you to know the girls and I are doing fine, and we miss you very much." My heart immediately broke. I turned around to give them their moment of privacy while fighting back tears. We must remember our veterans, and their families, too. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Yeah, that was a lively banter there on the break. Wow. I guess I should put my glasses on so I can see the microphone in front of my face. Yeah. But anyway, we're back. You're listening to Sovereign Mind Radio. We have our next guest in the studio with us, Mr. Greg Cheadle, who is running for District 1 for Congressman
yes.
against Doug LaMafia.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think there's somebody else running there, too.
Who cares?
Okay, never mind. But
they get enough press. I'm the poor guy. Build me up.
We're building you up. We're building you up. And, you know, I got to say right now, you got my vote, Greg.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You I work hard. You've seen me over
I've seen
year.
You. You show up. You're there every time. You know,
you're everywhere. I see you everywhere out in the community. That's for sure.
It's
engaged.
I love being out in the community. I don't do it for votes. I just love being out. I have fun when I'm out, and I get to meet the people. And I've always said, how can you represent people you don't know that you've not spent time with? How can you represent?
You do. It's really easy. You just ignore them and go to Sacramento and do whatever you want to do.
Or
Washington.
D.C., yeah.
Or D.C.
Really
yeah.
ignore them if you're in
Yeah,
DC.
If you're really in D.C., it's pretty hard because they're so far away from you that you just look the other way.
Yeah.
Kind of like our current congressman.
But, you know, when
you trade their futures away for Monsanto money.
Oh, boy.
I got a thing on I was going to look here.
Now, one of the things I want to say while you're looking for that is I love walking the streets. And it's so humbling when people come up to you and just tell you that they voted for you. And see, my perspective is I see the office as a sacred position rather than a secular one. And so to violate that trust, no way. No way.
Well, I think that, you know, the misleading of the voters and, you know, I listened to LaMalfa's commercials about he voted against the big spending and,
right.
you know, I just think, where did he vote against the big spending? As far as I'm pretty sure he voted for big spending.
And globalization and the removal of American sovereignty,
the
destruction of the Constitution, 175% crop insurance for he and his farmer buddies.
Well, here's the thing. Voltaire said it best. Those who can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities.
Yeah, I mean that's pretty enlightening when you think about it. You know, that goes way back into some really heavy duty stuff.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I'm having trouble with on LaMalfa, and I was thinking about this the other day. I'm sorry, LaMalfa. Did I say LaMalfa? I think it just slipped out.
Yeah.
His backer. Some of the biggest campaign donors are Indian tribes that aren't even in this district.
Right.
Well, the two pieces of legislation that Doug LaMalfa has put forward himself are for Indian casinos not even in the district.
And why is that?
Because they give him money.
Well, and this goes to my point.
It's very similar to Ted Gaines.
You know, this goes to my point in that big money is when you're bought, you become a slave to those who purchased you.
Mm-hmm.
And you do their bidding and not the bidding of the people. And that's why I don't take money from corporations or special interests, because I don't want to be bound to anyone but the people. And so Mr. LaMalfa is not unique in what he's doing. There are a lot of Congress people who are doing the same thing and probably even on a higher level. And that's what I find particularly disturbing and disgusting.
Offensive.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is he's not even good at corruption.
What I'm saying is, in all likelihood, Mr. LaMalfa is a lightweight player compared to the other people that are out there. And that's what's really amazing to me.
Well, that's like with the Monsanto money. You know, he didn't receive it all at one time. You know, who cares if my bowl of oatmeal in the morning's poisoned with glyphosate? You know, the campaign contributions don't all come at once.
Well, here's another thing. Monsanto, I do believe, is about to be purchased by Bayer.
They are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's which will actually mean Bayer owns about anything.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, after you get the poisoning from the glyphosate, now you can take aspirin.
And get poisoned again.
Because
I'm just saying, yeah, then the aspirin will poison you and finish you off.
It's part of a vicious cycle of, you know, sickness and headache.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, and all kidding aside, it's disturbing, you know, and taking money. This whole thing is a big graft and corruptive thing. And,
it is.
And it just makes me sick after a while. I mean, what happened to people's values? You know, where they value, you know, honesty, integrity,
morality.
Yeah. I mean, that used to be, you know, something that we as Americans look to as our guiding posts to live our lives.
Well, you know, it goes back to globalization. you know, in order to take over America, you've got to kill it more. You've got to kill its morality.
Yeah, that's right. That's right out of Machiavelli. That's Machiavellian stuff there.
You've got to, because when you have a moral people, you have a people that tend to be intelligent and disciplined. And when you have an amoral or an immoral people, those people are uneducated and undisciplined. And you can do anything with an uneducated and undisciplined population.
Yeah, you can mold them and shape them. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, all you got to do is have six giant networks own everything and feed them propaganda for 30 or 40 years. And they won't know whether they're men or women.
Yeah. And they don't know which bathroom to go to.
They won't even know which bathroom to go. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
You know, you won't know if your name is Bruce Jenner
or
Caitlin.
Yeah.
Just saying. Man, that is some messed up stuff. But it does show you how far garbage in will give you garbage out.
Mm-hmm. You know, again, when you have globalization take place, and this goes to one of my pet projects as well as far as running, is religious liberty. You've got to get rid of religion in a society in order to take it over. Mm-hmm. And they are doing everything that they can to take religion out of everything. Mm-hmm. I can go into a classroom and take a Bible and they're going to call the police. I can take a Quran, no problem.
So it's only certain types of religion that we need to get rid of. You know, I mean, and I just got to say it.
Go ahead and say it.
You know, anybody who thinks the guy in the White House isn't a Muslim, I mean, what, has he got to come out and put the prayer rug on the front lawn of the White House in order for anybody to believe it?
When people can make you believe absurdities, they can make you commit atrocities. That goes to that. To say that he's a Christian, and I'm not one to judge anybody, but by their fruits you'll know them.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, this guy has supported every Muslim position in America and has opposed every Christian position of policy that has come on top of the pile of crap to do.
You're preaching to the choir. And one of the things I find so disgusting is the number of Christians who are in favor of them and have been in favor of them. And my point is and has been, how in the world can you be in favor of a man who spits on your beliefs?
Listen to MSNBC a lot.
It's this weird cult of personality that we have with our elected officials. And that's one of the things that we as an American people have to overcome, is that cult of personality.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, we've forgotten the employer-employee relationship. We've forgotten the citizen-to-representative relationship. We've allowed the government to turn everything that we know and hold dear on its head.
Well, you know, what has happened is that there's been so much free giveaways on everything across the board that a lot of the American public has been bought and paid for in mm-hmm. order to look at things a certain way. It's really that simple. You can overlook anything if that's your lifeline to prosperity. You know, your lifeline to food, your lifeline to education, you know, all of these things that are given away, that Bernie Sanders wants to give more away of, you know, well, you don't really care what's going on with the guys who are administering it as long as they're giving you what you want.
Giving you what you want. And again, that's why I am a proponent of campaign reform. And one of the things that I, you know, put forward is to have a maximum contribution of $2,000 per entity. An entity being an individual or a couple or a corporation, whatever, maximum $2,000 per contribution per election cycle, coupled with no outside-the-district money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would change a whole heck of a lot.
Why should there be any money contributed from outside of the district?
When you look at congresspeople and you go to their there's a couple websites you can go see where their money's coming from. So much of it is coming from outside the district. It shouldn't be that way.
There's a lot of it that's being funneled in from outside of the country.
Yes.
And how is that representing the American people or your constituents?
It's not. It goes back to what we've been talking about, you know, globalization and taking over America and having the individual smashed.
Yeah. And it, in the name of corporate interests and in the name of political interests, it's we're not their employers anymore. We're commodities to be bartered and traded.
What do you think about Trump?
I don't know who he is. That's my main problem with him. Thus far, he's come across more like an emperor and a king as opposed to a president. And so just because he's a great businessman, or supposedly a great businessman, is not enough to satisfy me with respect to how he would govern, because a country is so different than a business. Even though I think it would be great if we had far more efficiency and effectiveness in government, you know, along the business model, but yet still we are a government. There are people in our country who need help, you know, they're disabled, so forth and so on.
Sure.
Who cannot contribute financially to the system. So there, we have to have a government with compassion and not necessarily always looking at the bottom line.
I think we should take care of the people who can't do things, mm-hmm. not care of the people who won't do things.
Oh, exactly.
And I think Trump's on that line. I mean, so let's say that you have a choice between Trump, Hillary, and Bernie Sanders.
Why do you want to do that?
Because that's what we're facing.
Yeah. FIFO.
I know. I mean, take your pick.
Well, I mean, of course, I'd have to. Given those three, I would definitely come out with Trump.
There is also Gary Johnson.
Well,
the Libertarian.
Yeah.
I like things about, but I'm looking at realistic possibilities of winning here the American vote, and you have to go with that on these votes, because you know, you can vote your conscience in the primaries,
mm-hmm.
okay, but then you have to vote for who's going to win in the other election to change the guards, if nothing else. Even if you don't like the guy, you got to get rid of the old guard and get them out of there, because they're entrenched and they're like ticks.
It's simple. Put a box on the ballot that says none of the above, try again.
Be like Brewster's Millions, you know?
51% said no.
So I guess we'll wait and see what happens. But
given that choice, you know, Trump would be the man. Hillary scares the daylights out of me. Everyone who's been associated with her has been in a plane crash.
There's not like 45 people died since she was in the Secretary of State's office. You know, I mean, there's a trail of bodies all the way back to, you know, Whitewater on these guys.
And Bernie, he nails the problem, but he blows the solution.
Yeah, I think that he's got it right on the banks,
mm-hmm.
but the solution is not giving more power to the people that are the problem.
Right. And see, when you, like, I have friends who are Democrats, I confess.
No? Really?
I do.
You know something I would have never...
I speak to them. I'm serious, because like all people, I would have to represent everyone, so I like to know what they're thinking. But anyway, the information that was given to me about, you know, Bernie being able to pay for his stuff, the numbers didn't add up, and people weren't even paying that attention.
Right.
You know, they would send me this. I'm like, look, the numbers don't even add up.
They don't add up now, and we're not even giving it away.
Right. And, you know, like healthcare alone, healthcare expenditures were over $3 trillion in the U.S. His plan didn't even come close to covering $3 trillion for healthcare.
We're getting ready to have a financial bubble pop as we speak. You know, whether we make it to the election before this financial bubble pops is going to be the question. You know, I mean, Trump said in December, he said, hey, you heard it here first, the word bubble, you know. And so the only question is, does the bubble pop before we get there?
Well, we've got to stop looking at repairing a failed system, and we need to start rethinking it.
We need to start working about restoring a system that worked in the first place, because we're not even close to that system anymore.
Yeah. And that goes back to that cult of personality. We need to stop putting these politicians in the office with the enablement that we expect them to fix it, and then we'll start paying attention to what they did 2 years from now. We need citizen representatives that will be at work in their district, at work with their constituents, and take their constituents' ideas and put them into action, because some of the things that have come out from local constituencies and just local citizens, some of the ideas are brilliant, they're amazing, and that's how we used to function as a country.
Well, see, one of the problems that I have with that is that that's great, but it takes too blasted long. The people, we are in such deep fecal matter that we have got to take things into our own right now. We as a people have got to get up. Anytime the left wants to do something, they do something outrageous. They're radical. The right has got to do the same thing. Yeah. You know, the left closed down the Bay Bridge. You don't close down the Bay Bridge unless you're about something. And so we've got to do that. We've got to take that same tactic and get back the power to vote and vote and vote. Takes forever. Well, and it angers me because it takes so long. I want results now because
we have a big problem with that. The left closes down the Bay Bridge. It's rightful protesters. We close down the Bay Bridge. I'm a domestic terrorist.
You are.
Yes.
Especially you.
I know.
You know.
It's bad.
It is bad. And there is a double standard with respect to how they arrest and why they arrest and what happens to the demonstrators. But I'm just saying that the people have got to take back the power. We've given the power to D.C. We've got to take the power back as best we can, mm-hmm. as fast as we can.
I agree with that.
And one of the ways to do it is quit simply patronizing the big banks.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what.
That's a good start right there.
That's a good start. Go local with everything. Go local with your buying your produce, your food.
Yes.
Everything go local is a huge step towards the right equation. You know, assuming that in California there's going to be anything local left.
I was going to say, yeah.
Because everything is flooding out. I mean, I drove to Nevada a few weeks ago, went through Reno, and wow, this is turning into a major city because everybody is fleeing
California,
you know, and then going to Texas and every place else. So,
That's like shut down Walmart. Stop shopping at Walmart, okay? You think that you're getting these great prices from Walmart because you go and buy a commodity, a lower price in Walmart, but then Walmart is paying their labor such a wage that their employees are government subsidized, so your taxes are making up the difference, and you're losing money in the long run. It's just that they've split the bill so that you're not paying attention and adding both receipts up to realize that Walmart's ripping you off.
Well, here's a couple things about Walmart since you brought it up. The four or five heirs of Walmart increase in wealth in 1 year more than the entire salaries that they pay to 1.4 employees that they have.
Yeah.
And moreover, when you have these low prices, how do you get those low prices? You've got to screw the manufacturer. Mm-hmm. And that's what Walmart does constantly.
In this market, yes. In a competitive free market, you get lower prices because of competition. But we don't have a competitive free market anymore.
No, it's all overseas.
It's captured.
Well,
it's all overseas.
And don't go from Walmart to Target.
Right.
And definitely don't try to use the bathroom when you get over there because you could be locked up if you're in the wrong room.
Well, here's another thing about
Walmart. No, that's not Target.
Walmart came out of nowhere, and now 25% of the groceries purchased in the United States come from Walmart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Talk about local stuff.
Well, yeah, they have pushed out the little guy, you know, Joe Farmer, to the point that he can't do anything.
Yeah. Right.
I live in California. What do I want to buy a Chinese orange for?
I just want to know that it's coming from China so that I have the option to buy it or not. That was one of the things that our current sitting congressman
voted against. I want to know what I'm buying.
He voted against labeling our food, and that has stuck in my craw so bad. I'm so pissed off about that that it's like, really? So we don't. I don't want to buy Mexican oranges just because I don't want to. I don't want to buy lemons from China. Why? Because I don't want to. Okay, I want to know where they're coming from because I want to have the option to boycott them or not, just as an American consumer. But no, we want this globalist crap where we don't know who we're depending on, and we got this interdependent food sources and manufacturing coming from everywhere. And with that, I better get off here because
before
I'm ready to throw something.
Before you tell me how you really feel,
I know when we got a caller too.
I want to know where it came from and what the heck is in it.
Exactly.
Exactly.
That's all I want to know.
It's not rocket science.
Right. And you would have thought that he would like that, too, because he's a rice farmer.
Well, no.
I don't understand.
No, I do.
But you've got to look at the backside of the deal that gives exclusive sale rights of sticky rice to the Pan Pacific.
Well, and I guess the $3,000 a month on installment payments is a good way to go, too. Anyway,
and I guess we have a caller on the line. Good morning, Terry. You got a question for Greg?
Yeah, I was wondering if I could get into the rant here.
Okay.
Welcome aboard.
Well, I just have a couple of questions for Gregory, and you know, I want to thank him as all the candidates. You know, here's a guy that, you know, you're putting yourself out there, Gregory. I know it's not easy for you. I know you're using a lot of your own money, if not all of it. And, you know, it's appreciated by folks that you're a patriot, my friend.
Well, I appreciate that very much. No, it's not easy, but, you know, I practice what I preach. If I tell you to do something, I'm doing it myself first.
Right, right.
Don't tell me to wear a tie.
Well, here's the question. I got a couple questions, though, because, you know, when somebody goes to Congress and somebody does win, you know, you're usually given most of your staff. You inherit that staff, which means you probably inherit some of LaMalfa's staff. Also, have you thought about, you know, who you're going to use for staffing here? Have you thought about, you know, if this comes to fruition, what your next steps are?
I have. I've been looking at that for several years, and I have my eye on some key people. And as far as inheriting his staff, will...
I think you should take...
Well, do you have to keep the staff, though, if you inherit them?
No.
Can you just get rid of them?
That.
I can kind of answer that question, Linda.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Terry.
All right. Well, the thing is yeah, you will inherit some staff. I mean, LaMalfa inherited a lot of Herger staff. These guys are already in place on a lot of mundane millions of different issues. So you're not going to have the ability as a freshman to go in there and completely change things. I mean, you know, maybe one or two people, but for the most part, you're going to inherit a lot of these folks. I think that's another big problem people really don't look at who run for office, that you end up getting a lot of the same folks. Now, I'm not saying that LaMalfa hasn't done the things he's done because of his staff. I just think he was of the same mindset that Herger was, and you're not, and I don't think Montez is, and but the point is that when you guys go in there, what would be your plan on that? I mean, usually if you get a chief of staff ahead of time, that's somebody maybe you can take back with you. I mean, this is a serious thing, because they'll be doing most of the scanning of all the bills and all the stuff that everything you'd be responsible for would go through your staff first.
Oh, that's true. And again, I have my eye on some key people, and we'll just have to see what happens.
So you okay?
Yeah, I mean, the lower ranking people probably wouldn't have a problem with, but when it comes to key people, that's where there will probably be a lot of change.
Right.
Yeah, maybe go through and evaluate everybody before.
Well, yeah.
You got to get there, I guess, to the
I mean, you do have to get there first, but prior to getting there, like I said, I've got my eye on some key people, and we just have to see what happens.
Well, just a thought in maybe finding out who LaMalfa staff, each one of them, running a background on them, in finding out where they're coming from, how long they've been there, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But just a little food for thought.
Well, I appreciate it. More food. I'm getting fat on this food now.
Yeah. Well, you enjoy that food. It's just too bad that the other guy voted against labeling it, huh?
Oh, man. What can you say?
Well, $317,000, Monsanto.
Wow. Works every time. Money talks.
Well, yeah. Not in $5 million in farm subsidies. You can't beat it.
Sticky rice.
That's for the little guy. That's the sticky rice.
All right, gentlemen, have a good day.
Thank you so much, Linda. Terry.
Have a great day, honey.
Thank you.
All right,
you
very
too.
Good. So what else should we talk about here?
Well, you know, one of the things that is of concern to me, too, is human trafficking. Our government is about more than just plain jobs. We have to watch out for the people. And so the exploitation of women and children and trafficking really concerns me. And I don't think that's something that's been voiced a lot.
Well, I was just going over this thing earlier with the Conchita Sarnoff is the author of Traffic King,
mm-hmm.
a book about sexual abuse of minors with a special focus on Bill Clinton's friend Jeffrey Epstein. It seems like this this goes all the way to the top, and then Hollywood is just full of these guys. I mean, I don't understand.
That's one of the byproducts of the illegal immigration is the human trafficking. Nobody knows who's coming, who's going out of the country, and
mm-hmm.
it's one of the ways that they're able to commit so much human trafficking, and it is a huge problem.
So what do we do about it?
You know, one of the things that we can do with respect to other countries, starting first of all, would be to, why does that word slip me all of a sudden? Sanctions on countries. That's one way to start. And into our trade agreements, which do not limit our sovereignty, that can be in there as well. That's a start. I mean, I wish I knew the answer. The problem is that we have such a high population of debased individuals who are willing to pay for all this stuff. That's the major problem. And that's just a symptom of our society just falling rapidly downhill.
I think that that's why there has to be a purge of the system as far as the giveaways.
Mm-hmm.
Because the giveaways are partly responsible for all of this. And when I say giveaways, I mean you don't have to do anything and you get money from the government. I could go get money from the government today. I could get food stamps. I could get Medi-Cal. I could get
cell phones.
I could get all of this stuff. Well, then if I could get all that stuff for free and not have to worry about working or living or any of that stuff, well, then I don't have to worry about participating in a free market. I don't have to have mm-hmm. make an honest day's work and be an honest citizen. I think this all relates to, it also goes back to our religious values, our values as people and our morality. That's why I think there has to be a purging of this stuff. You can't keep enabling all of these people to have, you know, access to all this crap, you know, without having some kind of repercussions in the marketplace and in society.
And I think it causes people to go and take things from people on top of it.
I think it's all related.
Yeah, I think it's all related, and that turns them into more criminals because mm-hmm. I get it for free from the government, so why can't I, because you have something I want, why can't I just go take it from you?
So they'll shoot you.
Well, I mean, we have that extreme, then we have the other extreme where Robert K. Jr. got $1 billion alone. Just $1 billion. One person getting $1 billion. Then we have Solyndra, you know, it was $500 some odd million. Then we have Sun Edison, which is another multi-billion-dollar mess on our hands. And, you know, the rich get their money. I'm talking about the filthy rich, not the hardworking rich, but the filthy rich get their money through loans, subsidies, tax loopholes, and so forth and so on. That's another problem. And that, mm-hmm. to me, that's even a more of a major problem in that mm-hmm. these people, we're paying all these billions of dollars to just a handful of people who are using that money to corrupt the system even more.
Well, and it all stems back to the money changers. It all goes back to the guys who are printing the money in the first place. And this
Audit the Fed,
get rid of the Fed.
Yeah.
You know, come up with something different. It really goes back to that because that's how you debase the morality. It's a byproduct of somebody counterfeiting the money and mm-hmm. buying everybody. You know, whether it's through subsidies at the highest levels of Wall Street or at the lowest levels of Main Street. When you've got somebody who's got a monopoly on controlling the mm-hmm. money, then they will control the country and everything in it. And that's why Rothschild said, I care, you know, if I give me control of the money supply, and I care not who makes the laws.
Right.
That's what we're talking about here. And it has to be stopped completely across the board in order for it to right itself. And what that is going to do is that's going to cause an upheaval in people's perception of reality.
Oh yeah, it'll be painful.
It's going to be painful. It's coming anyway, whether we want.
Oh yeah,
whether we like it or not, it's coming because the end result here is this whole thing is folding worldwide on a global stage.
The handwriting's on the wall. The entire industrialized world is bankrupt.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
in debt.
Yeah, because we're in debt to who? You know, when I first started researching this stuff, you know, the first question I asked myself, the question that changed the tide in the way I think was, where do you get, okay, let's say we're $20 trillion in debt right now.
I'll take a jet, too.
Okay, well, there's that. Okay, we're $20 trillion in debt, and we're $200 trillion in unfunded liabilities. Where do you get $20 trillion to borrow it? Now, think about that for a second. What does $20 trillion look like? Okay. Well, if you had a relative size of gold to the, you know, it'd be as big as the earth.
Probably.
Okay. See, because where do you get $20 trillion to borrow it from, and how do you charge interest on $20 trillion? Where does it come from? It doesn't exist unless it's coming out of thin air.
There are other things other than gold that have intrinsic value that will always hold their value, and that's things like people's labor. Right. People's intellectual thoughts, and we're basically buying people's labor that haven't even been born yet.
Well,
they're slaves and they haven't even been born.
My next question is, where did they get the $20 trillion to lend us?
Out of thin air.
That's it. So once you take that step and you go, where did they get the $20 trillion and how can they charge me interest on $20 trillion that they created out of nothing, so I'm in servitude and slavery to them forever world scale?
But it's okay because it's a gilded cage, right?
Well, it's, you know, I'd rather be in the house than the field, you know, but slavery is slavery. And slavery of the mind is worse than physical slavery in a lot of ways, because if you don't even know that that's happening to you, you can't comprehend it, then that's normalcy for you, and you don't realize that you are being used and manipulated for someone else's agenda.
You don't have a brain.
And speaking of not having brains, what are they doing to us? I mean, look at another one of my projects, you know, mandatory vaccines.
Wow,
what
man.
Is that stuff doing to the brain? You know, you look at the mixtures with mercury in them mm-hmm. and how they attack the nerve axons and cause demyelinization of the axons. The axon just literally comes apart.
And what are they going to do? Force us into it?
Yes.
Yes.
You better believe it. I think it was in New Jersey. They had the parents come to the courthouse under threat of being imprisonment with their kids in order for them to be injected.
That's exactly right. They'll start using the kids and saying that we will take your kids because you're an endangering
we're not
them
doing it.
We'll have to leave the country.
We're not doing it.
Yeah.
That'll be a fight because I ain't going nowhere.
I'm not doing it.
I'm just saying that's where they're headed.
I understand.
That's where they're headed. But see, here's the thing, too. So it attacks the brain, and that's just with mercury. Now, there's other studies that show a causal problem with aluminum as well. And people want to say, well, it's because they're being diagnosed better. That's a lie. Back in the 80s, the number of cases in autism were, I think, 1 in 2,000. In the 90s, it became, right after the vaccines and into the 90s, it was 1 in 66. Today, it's 1 in 45. And that does not include the approximately 1 in 6 kids born with a developmental delay.
Well, then let's clarify this. You know, I'm not against vaccines. I'm against what they're doing in these vaccines. I mean, it used to be that vaccines were a good thing, like polio.
No.
Way back in the
day.
Okay.
No.
What I'm saying is I'm against injecting things that are harmful to my body.
If you're doing a vaccine, it's harmful.
Yeah. And let me think real quick about polio. How did polio decrease after the vaccine? How did it decrease?
I assume that it got wiped out because of the vaccine.
No, they changed the definition of polio.
Yes, they did.
Okay, so here's what I'm saying. Okay.
Just like they changed the definition of unemployment to make it lower.
Well, there is
there's
lying across the board.
Yes.
What I'm saying is that when I was a kid, we didn't have the same trouble with smallpox and that we're having now on the same scale. Because what did you get in your lifetime? 10 vaccines?
Me? I think I got polio, measles, and smallpox.
Okay. Okay, so let's say 3 vaccinations. Okay, now they come in, they pump them with like 60 vaccinations.
Oh,
right.
You get one.
There's a lot more, but they just renamed the diseases. It's not that the diseases or the vaccines did anything for the disease. Did nothing. They just rename it. If they don't like it and get the data that they want, they just change the name of the disease.
Exactly. Okay, girl, you're preaching to me. I love it.
So the CDC just came out and admitted that the vaccines were harmful.
Yes.
Yes.
They've been admitting it. They've been silencing the doctors that have been screaming at the top of their lungs. We did the test. The tests are harmful.
Yep.
They told us redo the tests and make it not harmful.
And then the doctors are caught in a catch-22 because now they're saying that if you don't allow your kid to be vaccinated, we don't want you as a patient. So it's just this whole mess as far as... You know, big pharma getting a foot in the door.
And they used to allow certain doctors to have people opt out of the vaccines.
Right.
And California especially has closed the door on that and said, no, I think it's only 2 kinds of doctors in the state of California can actually do an opt out of vaccines for anybody.
And who are those?
I think one is a doctor of...
Holistic medicine?
D.O.? No.
Holistic osteopathic.
D.O. and there's...
What's a D.O.?
Doctor of osteopathy.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'll think of the other one. Those are the only two.
Okay.
Yeah, they took the power away from all the other doctors to do that.
So you can still opt out, though?
If you can find those doctors that will do it.
And if you have... If you can show being prone to an injury.
Yeah. You can't opt out for a religious belief anymore.
Yeah, they threw out the personal belief and the religious exemption belief.
Yeah.
That's why I said our religious freedoms are, you know, just being trampled on.
Yeah.
Just going out the door.
Just in California, yeah. though, right?
No.
Well, that's going across the board.
There's two
that,
other states yeah. that do not allow religious exemption. I think one is West Virginia. I forgot what the other one is.
Yeah.
But it's becoming more and more because now the feds are tying mandatory vaccines to guess what?
Money.
Well, see, that's the problem. It always goes back to the federal government being out of control across the board, whether it's, you know, it's these jurisdictional issues. We get all caught up into, you know, like the pot thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we forget that what that's all about is federal control. You know, whether it's the LGBT thing or,
right.
or it's all yeah. about federal control and taking away our constitutional rights at the state level through the coercion of the money.
Exactly.
Across the board.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And people allow it to happen. A lot of the officials allow it to happen. Oh, we got to have that money.
I mean,
we hear that so much.
On every level.
Yeah. Oh, what would we do without the money? We have to have the money.
Well, they need to start getting their financial house in order. There's no way that the city should be relying on the counties and the counties relying on the state and the state relying on the Fed. At each level should have a balanced budget from the money that they get within that particular entity.
You know,
city yeah. should rely on just city government on city money, counties on county money, states on state money, and the feds on the money they.
Well, that's why we should get rid of the income tax.
Get rid of it.
Yeah, get rid of it. Yeah,
get rid of it, please.
Yeah, I mean, people don't realize we didn't have an income tax until 1913, and then it only creeped up into the average person's income in 1945. There was no income tax prior to 1913. We didn't have a Federal
right.
Reserve or an income tax. And we didn't start seeing it on because it was promoted as a rich man's tax. You had to make over $20,000 to even start paying it back in 1913. There was like two people in Idaho making $20,000. But then they implemented the payroll taxes in 1940 in the 40s for the war effort. And they said it was only going to last for the duration of the war, and that's when it really. So you could see the progression of being downhill from it being passed, kind of in a sleeper mode. 1940s, it starts to come into being, and then as that progresses, then we get off the gold standard in 71 with Nixon, and you can just see the debt rise from there, and all the monetary problems from that.
That's
point
why
on.
You don't give government an inch.
Yeah, because they'll take
Never.
Everything.
They'll take everything.
Yeah.
Don't let them in that door.
Yeah, I agree.
And by allowing government to not let you have a religious or personal belief exemption from a vaccine is just the beginning.
Or for anything.
Yes. It's just the beginning.
Yeah. Yep.
That's correct.
You know, Obamacare ought to be repealed just alone on that individual mandate. To give government the power to say that you must purchase this. And not only must you purchase this, but if you don't, we're going to drop the hammer on you. We're going to penalize you.
Yeah,
that is
happening.
Way
what about
too much power.
Car insurance. You have to have car insurance, or you're not allowed to drive.
You ready?
Well, yeah, and car insurance if you protect someone else.
We got to go to a break here.
No.
If you want to call in and have a question or comment, give us a call at 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Take it.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows for the Northern California Veterans Museum. Reminding you, this Memorial Day weekend, there are three ceremonies on Monday we would like to invite you to honor our fallen veterans. The first service on Monday is at 10 a.m. at Reading Memorial Park on Continental Street. The second starts at 11 a.m. at the Veterans Grove at the Reading Civic Auditorium. And then at Igoe Veterans Cemetery at 5:55 in the evening. Please take every opportunity to honor our veterans at one of these ceremonies on Monday. And remember, freedom isn't free. Thank you.
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore with Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista. This Memorial Day weekend, we'd like to invite all veterans and active duty military personnel and their spouses to enjoy 10% off everything in the store. That's right, 10% off everything but gas and propane for all active duty veterans and their spouses from Friday to Monday, May 27th through the 30th. It's our way of saying thank you for your service and your sacrifice. That's Mighty Fine Foods at 299 in Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista, your one-stop shop on the way to the lake.
It's the Ron Largent Show, talking about Reading. Our great community sponsors are Russell Cleaning Service, the Shasta Athletic Club, Zach Bay State Farm Insurance, Revolve Solar, Gold Star Mortgage, Mast Roofing, Chronic Service Master, and Authority Property Management. Great community members every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock to hear what's going on. Many interesting topics. Our goal is to inform. So tune in each Saturday at 9 to keep informed. The Ron Largent Show, it's the happening place.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Like many working women, I have a hectic schedule. My daily radio show, stage performances, and time with Carl leave almost no time to focus on myself. And I know a lot of us are in that same situation. We need me time to maintain mind, body, and spirit. And that's where Wellgate Sports Club really shines. I love the aquatic training program at Wellgate Sports Club. Kathleen Cowling's Aqua Aerobics focuses on cardiac training through water resistance and buoyancy that features safe, low-impact movements. Wellgate Sports Club's saltwater pool is a unique way to get back to my body, feeling muscle groups grow stronger. Kathleen at Wellgate Sports Club helped me to find my new limits, and they can help you too. Call Wellgate Sports Club today at 768-1205, or you can check out schedule information online at wellgatesportsclub.com. At Wellgate, self-care is the best form of health care. Wellgate Sports Club, Eureka Way at Court in Reading.
What shall we do about them?
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
What shall we do about them?
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. We'll be in studio on Memorial Day remembering our veterans, but we'll also have guests. Steve Baird, running for California State Senate for the 1st Congressional District, Grace Place, and Shasta Raceway. All will join us on Memorial Day right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Take the time to remember your veterans who have fallen in the defense of this country. KCNR 1460.
National news with a local view. KCNR 1460 AM.
Don't you realize the things we did, we did, we're all for real.
Singing along with that, I mean, I like that. Yeah, yellow. Anyway, we're back here with Greg Kiedel. He's running for Congress, and we have a caller on the line. Are you there, Lori?
Yes, good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Good morning.
Oh, excellent. First guest with the vet. Wow. This is so exemplary of how vastly different the military has been changing with bioweaponization, the chemical warfare, the deceit, the lies, the cover-up. We have the mantra of support the troops, but we don't realize all of the things that are happening. Red, I'm in the Twilight Zone nightmare that you keep referring to. It's just, I don't know what happened, but the freedom fighters are you guys in the media. You didn't have to be in basic training. You are a freedom fighter. The people in the state of Jefferson, same thing. We're all in a different form of sacrifice, lacking sleep completely. Lacking a social life, totally. So I just want to put that out there as we're looking at Memorial Day. We're in a different dynamic right now with the drones, the digital, the touchless dynamics of warfare, laser, frequency, pulse, MK Ultra. You're just discussing vaccination. This is just another takedown of our society and family. I mean, we look at, you know, the teenagers and what do we have for what we were going to call protection or military. So I completely commend you on what you're addressing. I hope this goes beyond Memorial Day weekend. I appreciate what other alternative media like Dane and his Global Alert News, looking at the borders. We're rubbing up against Russia, China. We're continually aggravating conditions in this collapse scenario. So if I can give a website story I sent to a couple people, Abby Martin, ABBY, Martin, used and betrayed 100 years of U.S. troops as lab rats. Mr. Cheadle might be interested because they talk about the race-based practice on people of color and how they...
Right. There's several studies out about the military and vaccines. Gulf War was one of them. There was another one regarding, I forgot the ingredient in vaccine. But I've said for the longest, you know, if we don't sacrifice, we will be sacrificed. So that's something that people should remember in this Memorial Day weekend as well.
Right.
We will be sacrificed.
I hope we don't become the generation that looks at our military brothers and sisters as disposable equipment, because that's what it starts to look like at this point. So I hope we continue this dialogue, and I love you all that contributed and gave everything for our freedom right now to have this conversation.
Well, okay. Thank you so much.
Well, we're running out of time. We've only got about 3 minutes left here, so we got to get...
The other doctor's an OBGYN.
OBGYN.
Okay.
Well,
yeah.
That kind of leaves me out of it, I think.
No, not with Obamacare, because you have to pay for that anyway.
Oh, well, that's assuming I get Obamacare, because I'm exempt, actually. All you got to do is be an Indian or poor.
Well, under Obamacare, since you pay for pregnancy coverage, can you identify as a pregnant woman?
Well, I could be.
Depends on what day it is.
If I was that, if I was really mixed up, you know. I mean, anyway, we're getting to the end of the show.
No.
Have you got anything, Greg? I know we need another 2 or 3 hours.
Well, you know, I just want to remind people that I'm not bought. I work my rear end off, and I refuse to be bought, because if I become bought, then I become part of the problem. And so I want to be part of the solution. So I don't take and have not taken money from corporations or special interests or high, you know, finance individuals, because I want to truly represent the people. I enjoy being out in public. I enjoy people, you know, coming up to me and telling me what's on their minds. That's important to me, because I want to know what's on their minds, because I can't represent people well if I don't know what's going on in their lives. I go to the neighborhoods, go invited into their houses, so forth and so on. So I appreciate that, and I see the House of Representatives as a sacred position and not a secular one. and I definitely don't want to ruin the distrust of anyone. So I just want to get that in there.
Well, and, you know, I tell everybody, too, this is the primaries coming up here.
Yeah.
Vote your conscience. Don't vote the party line, because you can't get anybody else in there if you keep voting the party line.
And don't believe that glossy stuff that they put out. I mean, they put out all this stuff to deceive you.
It's
deceive,
true.
Deceive, deceive. You know, I don't put that stuff out there because I'm not interested in deceiving anyone. I walk the streets. You see me. You can talk to me. You can touch me. And you can even see me more on Facebook at Gregory Cheadle and also CheadleForCongress.com, my website.
There you have it. Well. So I think we're here.
Man, I love you guys. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks for coming in. Don't forget, tomorrow's Memorial Day. Please go out and show your support and respect for the people.
And
I got to say,
it's that time. Remember, the amateurs built the Ark and professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. You've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio, where we put principles above parties and liberty over security.
And this has been KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
This is Carl.
I'm Gordon Griffin. Rain is washing out Memorial Day weekend plans for many in South Carolina. Tropical Depression Bonnie came ashore this morning just east of Charleston. Forecasters say up to 8 inches of rain have fallen in parts of southern South Carolina. Shore Beach Service Operations Manager Mike Wagner says he's hoping the storm won't linger there.
I think we'll see effects throughout the day. The wind may pick up a little bit in the afternoon, but hopefully by tomorrow it's blown out of this area, so we're not seeing much effect of it.
A flash flood warning was issued for Jasper County, where the southbound lanes of busy Interstate 95 were closed because of high water. The Libertarian Party has nominated former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson as its presidential candidate. Delegates to the party's convention in Orlando picked Johnson on the second ballot over Austin Peterson, the founder of the Libertarian Republic magazine and computer security company founder